The Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Let's go ahead and take a call from Rob, listening in Virginia. Hello, Rob.
How are you, gentlemen?
Fine. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I just wanted to relate what it was like. I'm 25 years old, and I was born and raised in New York City. And I went to New York City public school. And while attending public school, I was attending catechism to make my communion and then my confirmation. And the way I was raised was to ask questions and to explore different theories, if you will.
Sure.
And as I'm attending catechism, learning the theories behind creationism, when I personally believe that with creationism and through the evolution of however man may turn out, I believe that we're all going to become BM eaters on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate so much what you've tried to share with us.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Welcome. 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 Welcome.
Hello there. Are you two heading for Las Vegas?
Yeah. We're going to score.
Well, I hope to score big there myself. I'm mostly going to be doing the slots.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do some slots, too. Yeah. They have a lot of slots in Las Vegas.
Oh, there's so many slots, we won't know where to begin.
Whoa. Hey, buddy, this chick is pretty cool. She says there's going to be tons of slots in Las Vegas.
Cool. Nice to meet you, then. You're so well-mannered.
Did someone call for a doctor?
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Someone call for a doctor?
All right. You proved your point. You broke into my vault. Congratulations. You're a dead man.
Maybe.
Maybe. May I ask how you expect to leave?
Do you believe I'm going to allow you to parade bags full of my money out my casino door?
No. You're going to carry that for us.
And why would I do that?
Take a closer look at your monitor.
As your manager's probably reporting to you now, you have a little over $160 million in your vault tonight. You may notice we're only packing up about half that. The other half we're leaving in your vault, booby-trapped, as a hostage.
You let our $80 million go, you get to keep yours. That's the deal. You try and stop us, we'll blow both casinos. Benedict, you can lose $80 million tonight secretly, or you can lose $160 million publicly. Good decision.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people!
Someone call for a doctor?
Where the stars are this piece of shit?
Someone call for a doctor?
I really hope you do that. Look high and low for cruise ship cuisine on dry land, and you like dining in the round, you'll want to come down to Hank's Look Around Cafe. That's Hank's Look Around Cafe, 336 Melrose. Where you and your crew go on an adventure.
I was thinking about investing in that. I mean,
the
idea of rotating around and looking at the city. Right. Because if you're a smoker, you'd have to smoke and then stop and then light up again and clean your section.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. You're gonna hit me. It's a great idea. Like smoking the band. That was it. That was a great idea. And Cannonball Run. That was a great idea. Ooh, brother.
Welcome. 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 Welcome.
Someone call for a doctor?
Hi. Welcome. Hi. Welcome. Hi. Welcome. Hi. Welcome to...
Someone call for a doctor?
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
We appreciate it.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Someone called for a doctor?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
The Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Look at him. They escorted us all over Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, those little guys.
He couldn't bet.
Someone called for a doctor?
True story. He was an eye on nothing with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
That's all I have to say.
Someone called for a doctor?
Ocean. Linus. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Prophet. And all the ships at sea. Hey, someone called for a doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor?
Someone called for a doctor?
Because here's Dr. Don Geronimo and his nurse, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike's show. A new episode on this Monday, March 3rd.
Nice.
Rabbit, 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 incidentally. I know you missed it. I got to say it two separate time zones. So that explains my winnings out in Las Vegas. Phone number 877-365-3636. From America, from Canada, 1-800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
There you go. That's how you do it. There it is.
Someone call for a doctor?
Hi, and welcome to the show.
Yeah. I'm afraid this is going to be getting a workout today.
Someone called for a doctor?
Yeah, now you have to have seen Ocean's 11 to know that. That's Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11, right?
And you have to know that...
Someone called for a doctor?
The entire weekend that Rob and I were in Las Vegas.
It was basically the set of Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
In your own minds, right?
Yeah. Well, as you'll find out, I introduced myself to everybody, including the wonderful people from HBO, and they couldn't have been nicer with the flight tickets and the room and everything. But as far as they were concerned, my name was Danny Ocean.
And that's the George Clooney character.
And Rob's name was Linus.
Linus.
And as it turns out, Linus was Matt Damon,
right?
Not Brad Pitt. But Rob, at one point, we're just walking around and just saying...
Someone called for a doctor?
Someone called for a doctor?
It's when Carl Reiner... fakes the heart attack, right?
Yeah,
right.
And it's Brad Pitt that puts on the bad toupee.
And it's just a real quick edit when he comes in and says...
Someone called for a doctor?
And really, when we were at the Siegfried and Roy show, which is so far down the road, we'll get to that, there was a guy that was seating people at the Mirage, and he had on the full toupee, not the partial, the part that goes over the entire head, like Brad Pitt wore. And that's the first time that I said to Rob...
Someone called for a doctor?
Someone called for a doctor.
It really looked like painted on, almost. Almost like the ventriloquism dummy Jerry Mahoney.
Yeah, like plastic.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Well, here we go. Las Vegas. Sit back, get ready. We got lots to get to.
Vegas.
First, of course, we thank HBO for the great fight tickets. Roy Jones Jr. did take for Ruiz 12 rounds.
Pretty amazing.
Great fight. We thank them very much for all of the atmosphere and everything that HBO did to get us out there. Here's... I guess, the only celebrity that we saw was Puffy Combs.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's pretty
good. Other than that, no celebrities to be seen.
Huh.
Partly, a lot in part, but because of the what can I do for ye factor, which is NASCAR.
You know, I don't know how they were able to do a NASCAR race and a fight at the same time. It must have been pretty insane, pretty tough to get around Vegas.
Well, it was kind of quite a contrast as you would walk through the various lobbies of the hotel, because you would have on this side, and it was divided like busing.
Oh, it was.
On this side, you had the bling blingers,
right,
who were there for the fight, And on this side, you had, you know, what can I do for ye?
And both, you know, in their quadrants, that's the big money supporters on both sides of the aisle. I mean, you know, you got the people that have the disposable where they go to Vegas for the race, and then the people that go to the heavyweight fights that have all the cash, too.
On one side of the room, you saw like 1,000 blue velvet running suits. And on the other side, you saw red vinyl butt jacket.
Also, there's another there's another thing we have to tell you first.
In the casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose.
Right?
In the end, we get it all.
Not true.
Really?
Not true.
Right.
You are looking at right here.
Right.
Us two.
Uh-huh.
The two biggest mooks in the world.
Right.
Winners.
Winner!
Winners!
Winner!
Winner! From the time we sat down at the first blackjack table,
winner.
I think the only time that I even lost was after the fight.
Right,
I was dead tired, and really at this point,
getting overconfident, maybe
ridiculous. Walking around with so much money that we had made gambling that I just put down like $200 worth of chips, and Rob said, "Don't do it. It's a sleepy bet." Don't do it, you're sleepy.
Right.
And I said, oh, what the heck. And that's the only time that I was shut out. Other than that,
A successful turn at the tables?
I believe so.
Yeah, I really should have listened to my own advice because I got sleepy and gave some of it back. Not most of it, but
right.
Some of it. And I don't want to, you know, make anyone be mad at me, but my only complaint from the weekend is I've got to figure out some way to get my money clip bent back because it is literally too far apart now.
I mean, we really had...
That's rare, you know.
We had quite
the
winning streak.
You defied the odds.
Yep. Quite the winning, as evidenced by my bling bling, my new pinky ring that I bought. I don't think it's excessively gaudy.
No, it's not. It's just it looks like a little like platinum and gold or something like that.
Sure is.
Kind of a brushed platinum. You know, it looks very nice.
And since you bought it at the hotel, I know you got a deal.
I sure did. Came back with a big wad of money from my wife.
Yeah.
So that made her happy. And anyway, here's the deal. So we're going to Las Vegas for this fight, and we're excited because we've seen Ocean's 11, and this is frankly what we're expecting.
Someone called for a doctor?
We left on Friday about an hour and 15 minutes early. Thank you very much to Mike for picking up the slack on Friday.
Did you happen to bump into the Andy Garcia character out there?
We'll get to him in a second.
Good. I'm glad you bumped into him.
As it turns out, there certainly was no need for us to leave the show early. As it was, we were cutting it close. The plane left at 8:05.
Right.
Was scheduled to leave at 8:05 from National Airport. And they tell you, in these days of heightened terrorism and everything, get there 90 minutes, 2 hours early. Right. Well, we thought, if we leave 6:15, we'll be there by 6:45.
Right.
And, you know, we'll make it.
We'll be fine.
Well, as it turns out, we did make it to the airport. And we got on the airplane, and once we got on the airplane, and the magical hour of 8:00 rolled around,
mm-hmm.
we sat on the tarmac for an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh.
And I want to thank America West.
You were delayed on America West?
You're missing...
Inconceivable!
You're missing another magical phrase. Overbooked by 15 people.
Yeah. Wow. So they were looking for people who wanted to go to Phoenix instead of go to Las Vegas.
You know, now that I believe my trip to Vegas the last time was on that that fine airline, and
sadly they
seem to have issues.
They sadly have the best schedule for us.
Right.
Although they don't necessarily stick
right.
to their promised schedule.
So here's the deal. We're on the plane, and it's not moving. The first thing that they announce is the pilot gets on, and his name is Chuck. Now, you got to worry.
Chuck.
You got to worry when the guy gets on and just says, "Hi, this is Chuck, your pilot." Doesn't give you a last name or anything.
Just Chuck.
Hi, folks. This is Chuck. Welcome to Flight 48, nonstop in Las Vegas. You might notice it's a little warm right now in the airplane.
Wow.
The air conditioning is not turned on because, as you can probably tell, the engines aren't on. We expect to be taking off momentarily. Enjoy your flight. So we sit for another 30 minutes, not moving, hot as hell in this plane. We're crammed into the very back, of course. And then they get on and they announce, "Hi, ladies and gentlemen, it's Chuck again." Well, we're filling up on gas. We realized that we didn't have quite enough fuel, so we're going to fill up on gasoline, and we should be taking off within 10 minutes.
Now I'm not a nervous flyer.
Man, I'd be out of the plane.
I'm not a nervous flyer, but I'm thinking if you're sitting up there at the the driver's seat of one of these 727s, whatever this plane is,
you'd think you check the fuel tank.
You know, you go to the gas gauge and you would see, do I have enough fuel to get to Las Vegas or not?
It's a little scary.
And it's a modern plane because the ashtrays still pull out. That's no lie.
That's how you look at it. Yeah.
So they start fueling, and then he comes on. It's now 9:15. We're an hour and 10 minutes after the time we're supposed to leave.
Probably a 60-year-old 757, right?
Oh, incidentally, here's another beautiful thing. No food service.
No.
They don't even offer, like, if you wanted to pay for something, there was no food service to be had.
The delightful lady, and they all seem to sound this way, it's a rather lengthy flight without food service. You may want to bring something with ye.
So the guy
canceled the flight that I was coming back from Vegas. The America West canceled the entire flight.
Mm. He made out like a bandit.
They had one of those mechanical failures where they had to bring in another plane. Yeah. I think it was like 8 hours later.
Keep in mind that we've now been sitting on the plane for an hour and 15 minutes. And the reason that we've been sitting is they told us they forgot to fill up on gas. Mm. And then they say, now, when Rob and I left here Friday afternoon at 5:45, it was sunshiny, and it was 47 degrees. Mm-hmm. All of the bad weather had moved through the metro area.
Right, right.
At 9:15, they announced, hi, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pilot Chuck. Good news, we're full of gas. Right now, we're going to be de-icing the wings. If you look out on the left and the right, you'll see us de-icing the wings.
Maybe. Were you able to get any cocktails at all?
No. Now, why you would want to de-ice the wings when it was close to 50 degrees and it had not snowed for, at that point, 14, 15 hours?
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen a de-icing process? I looked over my shoulder. I'm not normally on the window because that just distracts me. I looked over my shoulder. Looked like the plane was in flames. It just looked like smoke everywhere.
It was like the beginning of the Siegfried and Roy show.
I almost jumped out of my seat.
It was really, at the very coldest, it was probably, overnight, it was probably like 36, 30, 34 degrees.
So anyway, we finally got...
Right? Well, it got cold Friday, late Friday.
I think they do that to coat the wings so that on takeoff, as they get to the colder altitudes, it'll prevent icing on the
ascent. I always
thought
they did it when there was precipitation. If there was no freezing rain or snow coming down, I mean, yeah, you were all right.
Anyway, we arrived in Las Vegas approximately 2 hours late.
Mm-hmm.
We got off the airplane, still in relatively good spirits, thinking, well, at least you don't have to pick up bags, you'll carry on bag.
Mm-hmm.
We go downstairs, Las Vegas time, I think it was, midnight, 12:15?
Between somewhere around 12 and 1, and what was exciting is as we were on the runway, we could see the fine hotel that we had reservations at.
Yep.
Literally 600 yards.
And Mandalay's right near the airport.
We can tell you now it's Mandalay Bay, and we'll get to that later because people found out what hotel we were at. But Rob says, oh, look, I can see it out the window.
Right.
Man, it's got to be like a five-minute cab ride.
No.
Well, when we got down to the bottom part of the airport there, the Caron Airport, I think it is in Las Vegas.
Cool airport, good airport.
They have these signs that say taxi stand this way. And it was like going to Disneyland, where you get in a line that just goes up and down and up and down and up and down.
Quite a system, isn't it, they have in the Vegas cab world?
So that's the regular system.
The regular system where you have, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about, it's the type of Disney thing where they do the people management, where you go back and forth, but it's very, very long.
Yeah.
And you see it, when you see it at first, you go, oh my God.
Now,
and then it's at some points it can move quite rapidly.
At one point,
they come in packs, the cabs.
And the people would come in giant packs. At one point I realized, well, now why are we going back and forth up and down these lines when we can just jump over the chains and like eliminate,
I really feel as though like we were on the same trip.
Three of these six rows. Mm-hmm. So I start jumping the chains. Meanwhile, behind me somewhere are Rob and Carrie. I don't even know where they are.
Right.
I'm jumping chains, and when I finally get ahead of a bunch of people, because it's not that I've snuck in front of people. It's the fact that
you have.
Well, I have snuck in front of people, but it's just they would rather slowly walk 200 yards north than walk 200 yards south and repeat this three or four times. When if you just went
to the left and climbed over the chains.
It would just be pandemonium, and people it would be the survival of the fittest.
Well, anyway, I ended up doing this, which I estimate saved us a half hour waiting.
I find it to be a palatable exercise if you have an attractive woman. Or at least one or two attractive women. Because then you can get the pleasure of, like, walking by her three or four times.
Well, here's the thing.
And of course, the race was in town.
I got to watch this because I had just hopped four of these little, not velvet ropes, but the chain link ropes. Mm-hmm. I had just jumped four of them to get ahead. And I saw a guy do the same thing to get in front of me. So we were both going, like, to the same spot. And as I arrived and he beat me out of the spot, I said, "Hey, pal, what are you doing?" And he turned around to me and he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Hello, the line starts back there." And the guy said, "I saw you jump the chain."
There you go.
So we came to the meeting of the blinds.
Brothers.
We both agreed that we would not turn each other in.
Right, right.
And at that point, you know, I had to get Rob and Carrie up by where I was. Suffice it to say, it was another full hour just to get a cab.
Wow. You remember your move for how you got us up?
No.
After you, because we watched the whole confrontation go down with those two, and then it was like words, and then they both smiled, and there was a pause, and Don said, "Hey, my friends," he just gestured, so we hopped the chain and we were right there.
It is amazing. It's a very strange system.
Someone called for a doctor?
I think it's an efficient system, but I'm not sure, you know. I know it can drive you nuts because you're sitting there and you wait. And it's not like they've got a line of cabs waiting. The cabs come in little bursts.
No,
right?
And we thought that this had to be because it was NASCAR and a fight on the same weekend, but I guess you're telling me it's the F-Dub where they do it all the time.
I came in, you know, relatively the same time you guys did, and I came in on a fight night. So I think when it's crowded, when the planes get in, and they get in late at night on Friday, that's what happens.
So you go through actually two series of those chains, and after you get to the end of the chains, then the guy says, "Go to station 3. Go to station 9.
Yeah, because you wait, and they have a pre-described place that you have
40
to sit
spots.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's ridiculous. But
it's over-organized.
No. We finally get to the hotel at 4 a.m. East Coast time. Mandalay Bay, beautiful hotel. Check in. We decide we're going to catch a little sleep. Then we're going to discover the town. Well, I think I was sleeping for maybe 3 hours before I received the first phone call. And I'm thinking now it wouldn't be my wife because she's in traffic court with my son Saturday morning. It was after 8 o'clock East Coast time, about 5 a.m. West Coast time. I pick up the phone. "Hello? Don? Yes? Hey, man. I was just wondering if you wanted to have a drink."
Somebody found you.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, Carrie told me, and I didn't even realize this. Did you realize that somebody called last week and asked if we were staying at Mandalay Bay?
Really?
I don't remember anybody calling and asking that. And if we had heard that, I would have said no. I would have lied about
it. You know, I'm pretty reasonably sure that nobody found me at the Holiday Inn Select in Fredericksburg.
So, yeah. So the first guy calls, and he's nice enough. Says, "You know, do you want to have a drink?" I said, "No," and I hung up. A couple hours later.
Were you nice to him because you were sleepy? Because that would normally freak me out.
It was nice enough, and I thought, what the hell? Well, the second call was a couple hours later. Another guy, I guess we got some listeners in Las Vegas, because the guy says, "Hey, I've been calling around, finally found your hotel. I was wondering where you're sitting at the fight tonight." And I said, "Gee, I really don't have my ticket with me. I don't appreciate the fact that you've called, violated the cone of silence." And the guy said, "Okay, you know, sorry about that. Well, maybe I'll see you."
Were you that nice about it?
I was with the second guy.
Really?
It was the third guy. And I got a name. Robbie, you know what? As it turns out, all weekend I've been trying to remember, but I wrote it down.
Oh, did you?
On a post-it note.
I hope he calls today.
His name is Steve Weintraub, and I'm in the room. This is Saturday morning. I'm in the room, and the phone rings. Hello, Don? Yes? Now I'm a little cranky because I've not gotten a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Steve Weintraub. I'm a big listener to your show. I was wondering if you would have a couple of minutes for me. You guys, you have such an incredible show. I have a unique business opportunity that I would like to present to you,
and
perhaps you and Mike could go over. I said, hold on. Mike didn't make this trip with me.
Why did everybody... Didn't we say million times?
Yes, you did.
Why did everybody think that I was still going to Vegas?
I don't know, but this guy and this guy, Steven Weintraub, he got it. He got
both barrels.
The F bomb. He got the S bomb.
Well, you know, you got it at the hotel.
It's not that it was a bother.
You hadn't checked in under Danny Ocean.
But the thing is, the guy was trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
The guy said, can we meet downstairs? And finally I said, what does this involve? He said, I think there's a reason that you're not killing in Las Vegas like you're killing in other cities. And I think I have the answer. Have you ever heard of direct marketing and direct mail?
Oh, God.
And at that point, I said, you know, F you, F your mother, F your wife. Do you have any kids? I was really just down and dirty with the guy.
Like, it's certainly not the way you go about pitching any kind of business idea.
Do you have kids? Well, you know, listen, pal, do you live out here? He said, yeah. I said stuff to him like, I pray you're hit by a car and your children are orphaned. I'll be glad to take care of you. And he said, I can't believe you're speaking to me like this. And I said, you can't believe this. Wait until Monday's show. So, I go down to the front desk, and they were very nice. They said, you know, because I feel all awkward, because it's not like we're celebrities.
Right.
I go to the front desk, and I say, hi, listen, here's the deal. I'm a disc jockey, and a lot of my idiot listeners have figured out what hotel I'm at.
Right.
She said, no problem. Would you like to be put under another name? Now, I've already told just about everybody from HBO that I've met that my name is Danny Ocean.
Danny Ocean.
So I can't.
Someone called for a doctor?
So I can't use the name Danny Ocean.
Right.
So finally, the name that was decided upon, which could only be used by my wife to get through, was Larry Sanders. That if anybody called the hotel and asked for Mike Source, Don Geronimo, or Danny Ocean, they would have been told that person
is
not registered at Mandalay Bay, that only my wife would be able to call with Larry Sanders. And even then, if it was Frida, they said, and I want to thank them because what great security, they said, now we're going to need a password to know that it's truly your wife. And I said, okay, the password is, hey now. So how funny is it that I'm at the front desk at Mandalay Bay where the girl's typing into the computer, Don Geronimo, alias Mike Source, my real name, alias Danny Ocean, alias Larry Sanders, which is the name we ended up using, password, hey now. So when I would call, for instance, we left early on Saturday morning, I wanted to have the room cleaned. When I called down to housekeeping, this is where changing the name got to be a problem.
Right.
I say, hi, I'm in room, you know, 28118. Can you...
Oh, Mr. Ocean Sanders.
Can you come up and change the room? She said, I'd be glad to. May I ask who this is? I said, this is Mr. Source. I'm sorry, the room is not registered to Mr. Source. I said, oh, that's my... The room is registered to Geronimo. I'm a disc jockey.
What's funny about all this, this is after you've gotten the calls.
Yeah, and I said, no.
You know, you probably weren't going to get any other calls, so this is after the fact.
This is just housekeeping. I said, okay, listen. It's under one of five names. It's either Mike Source, my real name, Don Geronimo, my radio name, Danny Ocean, Larry Sanders, or... The password for my wife is hey now. Yeah, Mike.
You know, when I checked into the Holiday Inn Select,
yeah,
I at check-in when I walked in, I said, can you put a do not disturb on my phone?
How about
And that worked great. That was incredible. And then anybody that needed to contact me, I kept the cell phone right next to the bed.
Well,
it's just for future reference.
I didn't even think of it.
It might be easier for you.
I didn't even think of it. And I thought, boy, things are not going my way because we had the problem with the flight and the problem getting the cab. And then the jerks calling me. And this is not to mention the fact that at exactly midnight East Coast time.
Right.
Friday went into Saturday, I said to Robin Carey, we were on the plane, I said, okay, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 1st of March.
Right.
And then as we arrived in Las Vegas, when it was 3 a.m. East Coast time, at midnight Vegas time, I said it to them again. So I feel like I got double the
luck. Probably why you won.
Double the rabbit, rabbit, rabbit luck.
That's the word.
But anyway, that was the beginning. That was just the beginning. And also, it was so much fun going by the name Danny Ocean that when Rob and I were walking through Caesar's Palace getting our HBO passes to go to this party they had after the fight, when the guys from HBO would go, and you would think they'd figure it out because Ocean's 11 is a movie that's on HBO
sure,
all the time.
Right, right.
But they go, Mr. Ocean! Mr. Ocean! And that one black guy, that one bling-bling guy,
yeah,
who just said to me, Ocean! Hey, Ocean! I'm here, Ocean! So,
Ocean.
We got there. They couldn't have been nicer.
Great.
The cluster F for the cab.
How's your weather out there?
Cool.
Doesn't matter. You're indoors all the time.
About 50 degrees.
Good air.
There were so many necks out there for this race.
Right.
It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought there'd be a lot of bling-bling out there for the fight, but there were so many necks. And the necks, I'll give them credit in Las Vegas. Fantastic marketing. That what you have is marketing that you would normally see at like the NBA All-Star Game or the Super Bowl with these ridiculous leather jackets
right.
that have ridiculously loud patches
right.
and gemstones on them that were selling for $5,000 and $6,000 each.
Wow.
But normally you would see like, you know, the gangster types who would have, you know, the gold chains around their neck and stuff. Instead, you got Hillbilly Fred,
right,
who's driven his RV all the way from Arkansas.
The RVs at a NASCAR race are they're mind-boggling, the amount of them.
A 10-mile parking lot that was used as the camp area.
Amazing.
For RVs just for this weekend in Las Vegas.
I hear that the partying for an event like that, the RV partying is mind-boggling.
It's more of a cocktail party, really, a classy get-together. They said on the news out there, I believe, that the RV parking lot at the whatever the raceway is
yeah.
at that weekend constituted the third largest city in the state.
Wow.
Yeah, so
pretty amazing.
It was nuts. Now
pretty good poop smell too.
Beyond that, everything is gravy. Everything else is great, except for Siegfried and Roy.
And I would tell you that is what I've been looking forward to hearing about.
I promise we'll get to that next.
Siegfried and Roy, and it sounds like you guys had a great time.
We did not. We absolutely did not. Listen, we're going to break here because we have just so much Vegas stuff to get to.
Vegas showbiz.
Suffice it to say, though, winner, winner.
Someone called for a doctor?
Were we hot? I mean, we were goddamn hot. And we were playing at the $10 table.
Right.
We would play, we would win, we would get up, we would go to the next table.
Right.
We'd play, we'd win, we'd get up, we'd go to the next table. Even Rob's wife was playing with us.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Who?
Rob's wife. What was she in the movie?
Well, she was just...
You didn't give her a movie name?
She was just
Karen. I knew you'd leave her out.
She could have been Tess, but when I would call Frida, I would refer to Frida as Tess.
As Tess.
When I would call Frida on my cell
phone. There is no other woman in the movie Ocean's 11.
There was not. There was not. We did have our picture taken in front of the world's giant, the world's biggest slot machine. And that's the other thing. That Charlie Stewank Stabilak.
Right.
That whole town, dude, that is Charlie Land. I mean,
I know.
With the castles.
Whee!
And with this one.
New York, right? Paris.
Rob took a picture of this one place that we drove by. It is just the entire wall
right.
of the front of this building is a clown's face.
You enter through the clown's mouth.
The clown's mouth!
And they say, like, 2 cent slots, dollar blackjack.
Well, what I said to somebody, if you've got kids and you want to go out to Vegas on a trip where you get away from the kids for a weekend and you go to the carnival items, like you go to New York, where they have Coney Island set up, right, with all the they give away. It's much easier than a regular carnival because they're trying to get you in there to win, sure, so you go to the real gambling,
right,
and lose the real money. So you can win lots of like little stuffed animals for absolutely nothing.
And Mike, I did show Rob the dumb Wheel of Fortune slot machine.
Wheel of Fortune!
We were addicted to.
Yeah, I want a big jackpot on that.
Yeah, it was popular among.
But unlike you, gentlemen, I don't think I've ever walked out of a casino town up. It doesn't happen.
Wow.
I don't have that ability that you both have. That
stopping.
Like, see how Don got a ring and stuff, and was turning his winnings into,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like. I have the scorched earth policy of gambling.
No, Mike.
You win when you do, you can't play anymore.
You just have to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Okay, listen to me. A break. We'll come back. The Siegfried and Roy saga. We have to get to.
I can't wait to hear about
that.
Good.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And a problem with kids in the casino.
Really?
The wet grass story. We'll see if you can guess where we had dinner. Out of the thousands of great restaurants that are available in Las Vegas. Let's clear the lines out now and try to give away $1,000. Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100. Right now, guess the secret sound and you win the money. Good luck. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right. Now, I have complied with your every request. Would you agree?
I would.
Good. Because now I have one of my own.
Run and hide. Run and hide. If you should be picked up next week by a $100,000 sports car in Newport Beach, I'm going to be supremely disappointed because I want my people to find you. And when they do, rest assured, we're not going to hand you over to the police. So my advice to you again is this. Run and hide.
The Don and Mike Show.
Someone call for a doctor?
Of course, Bruce. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Someone call for a doctor?
We're still overtired, kitty. Sorry.
Someone call for a doctor?
All right, let's get a call. 100 and here we go. Right here, it's you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Cello.
Hello.
This is the first call we've taken, right?
Yeah, hold on, let me try. Hello, Donovan.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi.
Hello?
Yeah. You're on the air.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hey, is this the, you know, we've
hello?
Been away,
hello?
We've been away a weekend.
Is this hello?
Hold on.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm like that dumb commercial. Can you hear me now?
I'm over here now.
What's your name, my friend?
Jim.
Hey, Jim, where are you from?
Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, we were just there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still here.
Just there.
You sound depressed about that.
You won the Ultimate Fighting Championship jacket, courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable. Plus, you've got the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here sweatshirt. Celebrities compete for food, water, and clothes, and you decide who wins and who whines. Don't miss another exciting episode of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, airing tonight on ABC TV tonight.
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 Thank you.
Now you'll play for $1,000.
Cool.
You're going to identify this common everyday sound, which has nothing to do... What was that sound?
Oh, I work in a body shop.
Oh, really? Gotcha.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with ice or ice cubes, but it does have something to do with the kitchen.
With the kitchen.
Identify the sound, win $1,000. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Candyman.
Is that a rapper or Sammy?
That's a rapper.
A rapper, okay.
Caller, name this sound.
There you go. That's the sound. You know, we're hearing better sounds from that body shop.
Oh, there could be some more if you want to hang on.
I think I'm hearing a lot of that shh, which is the car going up the lift.
Just rest your breast on my chest. Yes, I'm impressed with the way you cold love me down. I don't want to sit down. I just want to get down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it sounds like when you threw your keys on the kitchen table.
Oh, we're sorry.
I tried.
Don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
Clue for you. Could you give us some more sounds from the body shop?
Well, let's see. Well, I'm kind of away from everything.
Is it a chop shop? Is it a legal place?
Oh, no, it's a big body shop.
Big body shop?
Yeah.
Big for stolen cars and stuff?
Yeah. No, it's we got 11 dealerships, you know, huge. Finley Auto Body.
I think because of the car, I understand that the only time you would get sounds is when we were doing the actual bit.
Right.
Now that we want the sounds, it would be stone silence. That's the way I figured this call would go from the beginning.
Quiet. Well, it's lunchtime, too.
So. Someone called for a doctor?
Right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Hold on, please.
Thanks, Ass.
So, anyway... Here we go with Las Vegas.
Ah, yes. Now, is that the music you're playing, is that from
Ocean's 11?
Ocean's 11?
Ocean's 11.
The modern one?
Yeah.
All right.
Someone called for a doctor?
So besides the goofs we're having, you know, just over and over with this Ocean and Linus thing, and winning it at Blackjack and getting our picture taken by all these dumb tourist attractions, at one point, Friday night, we have here's what we're doing. We're going to dinner, then we're going to go see Siegfried and Roy, then we're going to go to the fight.
Saturday night.
Saturday night, these are the things we have to do.
Right.
Dinner, Siegfried and Roy,
dinner,
and go to the fight. In Las Vegas, that prick whore Wolfgang Puck has like 1,000 restaurants.
What did you call him, Don?
That whore prick. He's got a Spago.
Yeah.
He's got some Italian thing in Mandalay Bay.
He's no Emeril Lagasse, let me put it that way.
That's right.
He's a prick whore.
You've got a Nobu out there. You have all of these very exclusive type restaurants.
Some of the greatest restaurants in the world now are situated in Las Vegas.
And we had pretty much our choice of eating anywhere that we wanted to. And, Rob, can we have a Tiffany, please?
I can only imagine.
Because the restaurant that we chose...
Here we go.
After much soul-searching and thinking...
Really, the top restaurants. They brought chefs in from all over America and France and everywhere to... The finest cuisine really can be found now in Vegas. Where did you guys decide to dine?
Inside the Caesar's Palace Promenade...
Yes.
We dined at The Palm.
Hey. Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Because we always do.
That's familiar.
we have the same food we always have.
Now, here's the thing. Is the idea hatched, I'm guessing, somewhere over St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Or on the plane. You know, it'd be good.
Who came up with the idea?
I first floated it. I said, I bet there's a Palm.
Really going out on a limb there, Robbie.
Bet there's a Palm in Vegas. And so we checked, and there was. And wouldn't you know, it was Fabu.
Well, it's consistent, right?
Yes, it was good.
Yeah. We had a good waiter. His name was, remember his name? It was like
Slater.
Slater.
Slater the waiter.
Slater the waiter. We had dinner, called my wife. She was, at that point, disgusted.
Of course.
That I'm calling her. She's been in traffic court all day with Bart, bless her heart. You know, 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and finally my kid's done with this stuff.
Right.
I call her up, and I tell her, you know, great news. I've won at gambling. I've won some bling. I bought myself this ring. Can I get you anything? She's nothing she wants.
Right.
She says, just try to bring home some cash. I said, we're going to dinner. And she said, call me from the restaurant. She said, that's one thing I'm really missing, is that there are so many great restaurants. Yeah. And the tone of disappointment and disrespect that she had for me,
right,
when I called her from the restaurant and made her play the guessing game on the phone,
sure,
guess where we are?
Mm-hmm.
She says, I don't want to guess. I said, come on. It's fun. You'll get it. Guess where we are? She said... She went through all of them. Spago? No. Nobu? No.
Right.
There's some other fancy Chinese place.
Yeah.
There's some fun...
China Grill.
Like some seafood place or something.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said, we're at the Palm, it was at that moment that she just said, hold on, your son wants to talk to you.
Now, the Palm, I mean, really a wonderful, like, top-shelf restaurant.
Great restaurant.
But the issue is, for those of you that don't know, is that when we were going to New York, we never ate anywhere else.
But we always
ate. Well, we ate free there.
That we ate free, and then, well, we've eaten there whether it's free or not.
Rob and I, through our various trips, have now eaten at the Palm restaurants, both the original in New York and the other one.
Right.
The one in D.C., the second one in D.C., the one in Atlanta, the one in Los Angeles, and now the one in Las Vegas.
And you've been to the one in Chicago as well.
Yeah, and that was my first trip. Yes, that's right. And we went in Boston, and we went in Philadelphia.
There you go.
And we always have.
We go to one in Philadelphia.
It was right across the street from the hotel.
Really?
No, that was Boston.
Oh, was that Boston?
Big cab ride. That was.
But I remember that we did.
Well, we ate at a Palm in Philly.
Yes, you were thrilled. Yes, I remember.
Somehow I block him out. I don't want to say the Palm in Washington D.C. is my my top two. I mean, if it's a lock, you want guaranteed. Yeah. I don't want to make it sound like I don't.
No,
but
we
I
all
kind
love
of
it.
I like the experimentation.
Not me.
Of going out and trying, especially if you've got these incredible places, and we. You know, we were in New York City, and the eighth time, it was just
we could eat it free at the Palm, because they love us.
Yeah, it was free, and that always got me. You never saw me not at the table.
And incidentally, those of you in Las Vegas, maybe you can explain this phenomenon to us. We were in a cab on the way from Mandalay Bay to Caesars, to where the Palm restaurant was, and earlier in the day, it was actually quite beautiful. I was up in my room watching, don't rent Adaptation.
Hmm.
God, don't rent it. I watched it on the in-room thing, and it just couldn't have sucked more.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of a.
But it was critically acclaimed. Right. But I had this big panoramic scenic window where I could see the mountains and I could see a rainstorm that was approaching, and it was really just breathtaking to see. I don't sound like a total fag here, but it was breathtaking. The dark storm clouds coming in, the rain, and then directly to the right, bright, beautiful, crisp sunshine.
When you're not from out west, you really do get impressed. I know Reno's got some great skylines also.
So here's the point of all this. I had waited for I'd watched the bad weather pass through the area, met Rob and Carrie down in the lobby, got the cab. We were in the cab about 4:45 on Saturday afternoon. It started hailing.
Wow.
And it was not hailing small little pellets of hail. Now, it was not golf ball sized hail, but I would say
marble sized
canned hams.
No, not canned hams.
Okay.
But marble sized hail,
and hard enough that it doesn't last long, because I'd say it was like probably 58 degrees, so it melts pretty quick. But you could look on the road, and there was accumulation for a moment.
Yeah,
I mean, there was just ice on the road. It was very
that's
cool.
Not exactly normal for Vegas.
I don't know. I didn't know if it was a sign.
I would think Vegas has a pretty, arid.
Someone call for a doctor?
Pretty arid climate.
I thought it was something that the Caesars Palace just made happen.
In Vegas, usually you're hot.
They can
there.
Do that.
We're going to take the little aqueduct and we're going to turn it into hail.
Hail of Caesar.
So, I mean, I know they get rain in Las Vegas. I know it's not like Phoenix. I know they get rain.
You get rain in Phoenix, too.
But they don't get a lot of rain in Phoenix.
The only time I was, when I vacation there, when I take a golf vacation there, that's when they get sustained showers.
But they get this hail.
Land of the sun.
And one of these times, though,
I'm sorry, Don, it was a bad vacation that I was remembering.
But we had a great weekend out there. I'm sorry. I mean, this Vegas thing was fantastic. I got my son. So great I got him. Because, he loves Eminem.
Right.
Absolutely loves Eminem. And
me too.
You people in Las Vegas know this, that as you're driving around, there's a big Coca-Cola store, and next to it there's something called M&M World, where I guess if you're really retarded, you spend your afternoon and go in and watch as they make M&Ms.
Yeah, you're not talking M&M World for the rapper, you're talking M&M
the candy.
For the candy, yes.
And a big giant
M&M Mines.
Like 45 feet big, these giant signs of the yellow and the blue M&Ms.
Whee!
And I called my kid and I said, hey, I found something. I want to let you know, if you need anything, they got an M&M store here. It's called M&M World. And he said, oh, that's so cool, Dad. That's so cool. You get me something? And I said, yo, would you like plane or or peanut.
And then he was crestfallen.
Yeah, and I guess it was at that point that, you know, the rule was made, no more calls from me out there.
Mm-hmm.
No more calls back home.
Right. Stop it, you're too giddy.
Because they were.
You were giddy.
They were. I called Mike.
He was giddy.
That's how giddy. I called Mike at about 11 o'clock Saturday morning and just said, I can't believe this. We won all this money playing blackjack.
You were giddy, man.
Jesus, I was out of my mind. Well, that ended, Mike, when we went to see Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing. Mandalay Bay, we've got to thank them. They have a rule, no kids in the casino.
Right.
And, you know, you've seen it on TV, and you see it all the time portrayed where you got the family that comes to Las Vegas, and it's midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Remember me in Atlantic City?
Yeah.
Walking through? That's my absolute pet peeve.
That's your pet peeve?
You see kids.
And rightly so.
Sitting with no parents around that are sitting in the lobby right off a casino while their parents are gambling. They ought to bring the cops in, grab the parents, take them right out to jail. I mean, I think that is crap when that happens.
Rob and I were walking through Mandalay Bay, and there was a guy who had his kid on his shoulders. And the kid looked like he's about 5 years old. He seemed to be having a good time. And the guy came over. He's one of those, they had the security things of the year. And he came over and he said, we got a policy, no children. And the guy said, oh, come on. He's just, and the guy said, no, seriously. And immediately, out of nowhere, four security guys showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they very politely escorted this guy out of the gambling area.
And what, in fairness to them, we have to explain what that stems from is, you know, some bad stuff has happened to kids in casinos. And it's you know, when they're not supervised, you can get kidnappings, you can have kids molested out there, and it's just not a place. I mean, it is an adult place.
Right.
It really is.
We see this guy get booted out with his kid, and Rob and I immediately go over to whoever this pit boss is, that did, and we walked over and we said, hey, you know, nice move.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, it's not a place for kids.
Right.
We got rules.
Amen. Right?
No kids, no shorts, no tank tops. And then he said something about how the kid could have helped the dad cheat.
Yeah.
Something about how.
Yeah. Really?
And not to mention the fact that the kid up on the dad's shoulders could look over the shoulders and see other cards. And then he said, but that never works.
Robert De Niro materialized, right?
He just pointed at the sky and he says, we're watching everything all the time.
Right.
All the time, we're watching everything. And we just said, well, thanks very much. And
someone called for a doctor?
As he was walking away, the guy said, are you guests in the hotel? I said, yeah. I said, have a great time. And I said, thank you very much. He said, I'm whatever his name was, if I could be of any help.
And you said you were Danny Ocean?
I'm Danny Ocean. And the guy didn't even...
Didn't blink?
Not at all. Not,
that is
not
too
a,
funny.
Not a blink. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, did you get yourself a hooker with your winnings?
You know, no. And
no?
I didn't see any hookers.
Did you get a massage with a happy finish?
Did you didn't see any hookers in Las Vegas?
Yeah. I don't believe I saw any, with the exception of Carrie.
No, that's her accent.
I didn't know.
Rob, Joe Arger has made his way into the studio.
Although we were told by Slater the waiter where we could find plenty of hookers and how to spot them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. He told us to go to this one particular place.
The Peppermill.
Where we stayed at a Peppermill.
No, not the same.
Oh. No, no, no. A different place where the hookers go in between their appointments. And you go there
to hang out.
Yeah, and they wait for their assignments.
Right.
Joey.
Now, Don, did you see any women in Vegas?
Yeah, there was some women.
And you saw hookers.
Yeah.
They're all hookers unless they have kids, strollers, and husbands next to them. They're all whores.
Joe.
Every one of them.
Wow. You know, based on the last fight that I went to, sitting in the lobby of the Bellagio, especially like in the wee hours of the morning, walking, strolling through. I mean, it seemed to me these women were not, you know, were not going to the local convent. So,
so now we're going to Siegfried and Roy. We got done with our dinner, and
I think we can understand why you didn't notice the hookers now.
And we're, we
You were late for the Siegfried and Roy show.
Here's the thing. For whatever reason, Rob, who is even lazier than I am, said, all we got to do is get over to the Mirage, where Siegfried and Roy are. Mm-hmm. Let's just walk.
I was told by the cab driver. Now, you remember, because with the fight and all the action in town, the strip was, like, locked down, starting in the early afternoon.
You can't, on a fight weekend, normally it's very congested, very difficult to drive from point A to point B.
And I got a cab, and I said, to the Mirage. And he said, your best bet is to walk. And then he wouldn't let us in. So I said, well, he says it's easy to walk, so let's walk. It's one hotel over.
Keep in mind, I'm not used to going out there and having money, or going anywhere and having money.
True.
And I got this big wad of cash for winning a blackjack. I got a shoe shine.
It was gorgeous, too.
I had this nice pair of boots on. I got them shined, and before dinner, I said to Robert Carey,
Were they shined by a hooker?
No, they would. Okay. unless it was a male hooker. I said to Robert Carey, is this, and again, it was just the giddiness of it all.
Right.
Is this the finest shoe shine in the world?
You know, being in Atlantic City and being in Vegas, it's two different worlds, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much more opportunity to throw your money away.
Pamper
yourself, absolutely.
So I get this world's greatest shoe shine, and I've never had it before. And Rob says, hey, when we get done with dinner, let's walk to the Mirage. It's two blocks away. In this concrete jungle, Las Vegas. Rob manages to find...
I just told what the cab driver said.
Rob says, we got to go up these stairs.
But what was that?
Just went what the cab driver said.
Rob says, you are a little jet lagged, aren't you?
A little giddy, too, yeah.
Rob says, we got to go up these stairs and up these other stairs, and it's right over there.
A lot of these hotels have a little causeway in between them, too. You know?
Well, as it turns out, we went up the first set of stairs, and there was maybe 300 yards... Of a grassy area.
Beautiful grass.
I said to Rob, oh, it's a nice grassy knoll. But keep in mind, it had been raining. It had been hailing.
Right.
I just had these shoes.
Oh, no.
We walked through this mud.
It was bad, Bill.
You know, I don't want to, you know, if you took some of these comments out of context, you two are going to start sounding like a couple of queens.
And my
wife
was there, too, all right?
Yeah, I know, your wife.
Made her walk.
Where was your wife? Like 500 yards in back here.
All she kept saying is, I don't know them queens.
As you're on the way to the Siegfried and Roy show, Don is worried about getting his shoes messy.
Well, we got to the second set of concrete steps.
I'm starting to get a little concerned. I just want to say that.
We get all the way to the top, and what is there again? There's another football field.
Yeah.
So we walk across this football field.
By this point, his shoes are ruined.
Are you sure at this point you're going in the right direction?
No, not at all.
See, that's the thing. You can get really spun around out there.
Yeah. So I'm totally flipped out about my shoes. You're right. I'm acting like
you should have been on a sidewalk going to the hotel. That's where you should have been.
Yeah. So we go back down. And listen, just to show you how much money Rob won this weekend.
Here's a rickshaw when you need it.
That's true.
Do you know?
He meant his shoes are wet.
Do you know that he paid for every cab ride?
How about that?
Way to go.
If you know how cheap he is.
He is the cheap man.
Then normally, if you're in a cab with Rob.
I'm out the door.
Do you get receipts?
No, you know, I did not. Believe it or not.
Oh, my God.
So,
must have been the hail.
Well, it happened like about 3 o'clock this morning. I stood up bolt in bed screaming because I realized...
I don't have a receipt! So we go to the Mirage.
I can't concentrate if you're going to put that program. You're going to hold that phone.
Here's the Siegfried and Roy program.
There they are.
Now, we were going to go see these two faggots as a gag.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We knew it was a gag.
Can I see it for you? May I deface for a moment? Just say, if you give me a Sharpie for a second.
Well,
I just want to write one thing on there.
Okay, go ahead.
Give me a Sharpie. All right.
So we get to the Mirage. Now, these tickets were my treat. And I originally, since we thought Frida was coming, I bought four of them.
Right.
So you're talking about $450 that I spent to go see. Mike, that's not funny.
Yes, it is.
You don't even know what he did.
He wrote your name and Rob's name on Siegfried and Roy's faces.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He made me Roy.
That ought to be. You know, it didn't matter. I was just doing it in order left to right. That's all I was doing right there. I should have done another back picture. Where they're posing with the white lion.
Well, all right. Now, what's faggy? Except the fact that I didn't want to get my shoes muddy.
I'm you know, what the caller said about that. I know when you two get around, you know, when we're all out and about, And I'm not proud of this necessarily, but there's one of us, maybe two of us, when Buzz and I are hanging out. Buzz and I have one particular thing in common when we're looking around, when we observe things that we're looking for, that we're we observe women.
Yeah.
When you two guys are together, I don't understand. I know you're both heterosexual males.
Doctor.
You know what? Both of you together become completely asexual. And that's why when I said one of the things I said to you, man, you're not going to believe it out there on a fight weekend. I know if you're looking for it, you're going to notice the type of women that are out there. And they're kind of floozy. And when you said to me, and I almost laughed at it when you're like, I didn't notice any women out there. Well, I know you didn't notice it, but I'm sure the place was crawling with them. But you were too busy.
I didn't see a lot of stink.
You probably, when you guys are together, you do your own little thing there.
There were a plethora of mustached women there.
Yeah.
For the race.
There was lots of NASCAR women that were there.
Right.
Red, I'm sure there were whores.
Yeah.
Hold on, here's a guy telling you we were at the wrong place to see whores. Maybe this guy's right on line number 7. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Radio God.
James in Las Vegas. Hey, James.
That's right.
Hey.
You guys were in the wrong place. There's a new place called the Tuscany. They hang out there.
I'm not talking about hanging out. I'm saying when I was there, I stayed at the Bellagio, and it was a fight weekend. And I'm not talking about whores necessarily. It was women that were, there were associated with the fight, and there were just like I just noticed a lot, especially the night of the fight, a lot of women just walking through the lobby. And I, you know, not necessarily hookers, but
dressed up,
just,
made up.
Yeah, exactly, right. Made up. You know, in that whorish way that I like, and it just it's a combination of everything.
No, you're right.
You holding the Siegfried and Roy.
It was a combination of
right
winning the money,
getting your shoes shined. Walking through the grass.
Hello, Don.
Time to lose Carrie.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good girl.
You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I was back in Vegas in July with my husband. It was like one of those, okay, we're sick of Ocean City. Let's go to Vegas. Get rid of the kids and go to Vegas. So we decided to stay at Bally's. We stay at Bally's. That was the best place. So then here comes the end of summer. And I'm like, man, I'm itching to go back. So then we were like, come on, it's Thanksgiving. Honey, let's go. So this time it's like, we need a special deal. So Cam 4, you get the air tickets. And we're like, well, now we don't have...
Are we going to hear every detail of your entire life, or are we going to get to a point with...
No.
What are we getting to here?
So we're down there at the opposite end, Bally's, and they end up at the Tropicana. So I'm sitting there, wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, I got nothing to do. So I'm like, okay, I leave the husband.
Unless the end of the story is that you went out and you whored yourself.
No. I had nothing to do. You got like a dollar's worth of change left. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go down into the casino.
Oh, my God. Has anyone ever told you how to tell a story?
Do a countdown here.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, guys.
What is your point?
4 o'clock in the morning.
5.
Okay? Here, I'm this girl by myself at 4 o'clock in the morning, empty the casino.
3.
So then, this girl walks up to me in
two,
this white rabbit coat.
One.
Holding a beer.
Jesus.
Too many details. Too tedious.
Sorry. Maybe that was the greatest story of all time that we just missed out on.
No. You know, there must be like a school you can go to, a storytelling school.
Hello.
You know, where you have like those master storytellers.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Great.
God, I'm glad you got that woman off. She was killing me.
Yeah, me too.
I forgot what I was... Oh, yeah, sorry. When you were in Vegas, you're talking, you want a lot of money at the table, right?
Yes.
But you know what? You started talking about the horse, so I thought that was more interesting. But how much money did you really make? I mean, you bought a ring, all this. You had to make...
Really? I'll tell you this. I went with Strictly Gambling. Frida gave me $500 to go out and gamble with.
Right.
Okay.
Gambling money?
I only get $100.
Gambling money, I made profit over $2,000.
There you go.
Wow.
Turned the $500 into over...
So what do you recall, everybody? You were just like happy as a thing.
Oh, he was... When he talked to me, you talked to me Saturday morning. You were up... you weren't up as much as you were then, but you were up a lot. I think the bulk of your money was made Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And you were just...
And at the $10 table.
Wow. Right.
I'm a pipe. I'm walking here at about $1,500 that's
Listen to these two.
I live in Jersey, and we go to Atlantic City a lot. and I've never been to Vegas. And I want to go so bad. For the other reason, Ed, did you guys get to go to the Chicken Ranch? Any of you?
No, Harry did.
I mean, they'd come and pick you up, take you out, do everything and bring you back. I mean, what more do you ask for?
I don't get what all this talk is about whore. There you go. I mean, can't we get to what it's really about, Jenny? Getting a good shoe shine. Going to see a couple of big, muscular black men in tight shorts hitting each other and going to see Siegfried.
Will everyone please stop calling about hookers?
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I was wondering how long it was going to be before you and Rob are wearing cod pieces.
Hey, listen, Al. I want to tell you, when we get to the Siegfried and Roy's part of the story.
Now, and
you're going to know we're not faggots.
But I'm going to defend you. Wait a minute, hold on, sir. I want to defend you guys because I know that you go to the Siegfried and Roy show as a pure...
As a goof.
Goof. Right. I know that. Right. And you're not going because you want to see Siegfried and Roy. You want to have something like this you can talk about.
And as soon as we get into it, I promise, you'll find out it was not a pleasurable experience.
And besides, the phone was sold out.
I got comped to that show, and we walked out of it because it was just uber gay.
It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because since I heard you say something about that, right? He said he walked out of the Siegfried and Roy show. I can't imagine anybody doing that.
I had to go get on the VegasGirls.com website to reclaim my testosterone.
See, it always gets back to see without a listening audience. It gets
what is all this talk?
There must be two cities because that's not the Vegas we went to.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh,
Nevada.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
killing me.
My wife and I were in Las Vegas last July, and walking in front of Caesar's Palace, you got these guys handing out like baseball cards with pictures of girls and phone numbers.
Yeah, Rob and I, because that's where HBO is headquartered, we had to go to get our passes and stuff. Maybe it's because we had just won all this money at the other place.
No, tell the truth. When they'd approach you with those cards, both of you guys would stand there and go, not interested.
We never got approached. Did we?
They would hand them to my wife. Well, or any kids that were
passing. We did not get approached.
I was handed a hooker card, a hooker trading card, on Sunday morning.
Okay, good. There,
on the script. But the person who really handed me is the guy that wanted me to rent the 58 Cadillac. From Washington.
You mean like his limo?
Yeah. No, it's like fantasy cars of Vegas that you get and drive up and down the strip.
I had some guy that kept following me around. Yeah. And it was funny because he would say, Mr. Ocean! Mr. Ocean!
Hey, Ocean!
He was following me around and saying, are you going to the race?
Right.
And I said, no, we're leaving. We're here for the fight. Right. But Mr. Ocean, $510, you take my limo to the helipad. I helicopter you to the race site. You have grandstand seats. You call me. My limo picks you up and helicopters you back to the hotel.
That'd be almost worth it just for the helicopter ride. But it's got to be, what, like a six-second helicopter ride, probably?
4 miles away from the hotel.
That's really, yeah. But he was obviously selling it against the traffic for getting into the race, because the race was nuts.
But I just thought it was funny, because he just kept saying, Mr. Ocean.
Mr. Ocean.
Mr. Ocean. Where are you staying? Mandalay Bay. Ask for my room. Danny Ocean.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, radio.
Someone called for a doctor?
Hello.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Yeah, you guys just hung up on my wife. She was
you poor guy.
Now, I don't want to hold you totally responsible, but obviously, let me tell you how the story ends, right? It has something to do with she's approached by a hooker in the wee hours of the morning, right?
Well, yeah, she was approached.
Oh, we got another one. Well, is it yes or no? Was that okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well then thank you. You just saved us. Well, no, actually,
did the hooker proposition her, or did the hooker ask her like to work a room with her or something?
Well, she was a little appalled by the proposition of the hooker, but when she got back,
what was the proposition? To have sex or to go have sex with another guy to work with her?
It was to have sex, actually.
Okay.
But, I love my wife and everything, but she is a little long-winded. So when she got back to the room, she found me with the hooker.
That's a great end of the story.
Jesus Christ, I wish your wife would have cut to the chase.
That was the end of the story.
And you're still married?
We're still married.
Well, how would you have, like, she said she got up. You knew she got up?
Yeah, she said she was going back down and playing. I mean, we get a little crazy out there. She stays forever when she gets on.
Okay, so you thought you were safe by getting a hooker during that period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I figured...
But you brought a hooker to the room that you were in with your wife?
Not the smartest idea, I know, but...
Is your wife cool about stuff like that, or is she uncool about stuff like that?
Well, you know, guys, she's such a bitch, she can't get anybody else.
How dare you?
Wow.
How dare you shame that woman in her own hotel room?
Lovely.
Wow.
You know, that's a weird answer, too. I mean, I don't know where this guy... My crap detector's going off a little
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Was that really your wife?
No.
You were lying.
It wasn't, was it?
Your whole thing was a lie.
You owe us a gigantic apology because you've just wasted more time than that other dumb bitch wasted.
You got to admit it was a great end to the story.
It was a great end to the story. Yeah. I will agree with that.
But you should have bailed
right
there.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Should have bailed.
Gentlemen, listeners, sorry. I'm out.
Right. Thank you.
Legitimate apology.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Okay.
Wondering if we're going to see Don and Rob on Taxi Cab Confessions anytime.
You know what? Did I or did I not tell you that when we left the play?
We are getting some good calls.
And you're going to think this is the gayest part, too, whenever we would take a cab.
Yeah.
It would make Carrie right up front.
Oh, my God.
Robin, Seinfeld's mom there?
Rob and I could ride in the back together.
You'd make her... That's like... position.
We thought we were being...
Polite.
Polite so that she can sit on the remnants of the guy's Big Mac?
Well, the first time we got... When we finally got the cab Friday night or Saturday way early in the morning at the airport, that's just naturally how it fell out, and that was sort of our positions for the rest of the weekend.
You. That's you.
That's me?
That's just between you and your wife there. And she didn't say a word about it to you?
She's trained not to.
I mean...
God.
She's lucky.
Carrie, I'm going to need you to sit in the front of the cab.
And let me also say this in Ron's behalf. I love Las Vegas because, like Europe, you smoke anywhere.
Yeah.
And I was chain smoking cigars.
Right.
All weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Carrie disliked the smell of cigars.
Having been in many vehicles when you light up, especially all those train trips where the first thing you would do would be light it up with the windows rolled up in the back of the limo.
But no, the windows would be rolled down in this case.
I'm sure she didn't mind at all. Well, she wasn't probably getting it because she was sitting up in front.
That's one reason I thought, well, all right, Carrie.
And I'm back
here with...
Someone called for a doctor?
Every time the more stories you tell, the more I really picture how this whole thing went down, and it becomes funnier and funnier. And we haven't even gotten to Siegfried and Roy yet.
It was Rob and I, and Carrie, I guess, was there.
I mean, when we went into the trip and when we realized that Carrie was going to be the only girl,
we knew. You sound like such a fag. God.
No, we knew
she's
that.
She's a girl. I'm married to her, but she's a girl.
We knew that if this was not fun for her, this would probably be the
any
last.
Any hookers in Vegas on the big fight weekend?
None that I saw. None that I observed.
Me either, Mike. Really.
I know.
Hey, and come on. Just last week I was talking about the clear number 3 that comes out of my D.
I know.
So you know I'm no homo.
Well, I don't think there is any sexuality involved in this. I don't think there's any. I'm not accusing you of going one way or the other. What it is the sexuality when you two get together is completely like sucked out of the
equation. I'll tell you what's sexy. What's sexy is winning $2,000.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What's sexy
right.
is the fact that we went to the room and took pictures of the money.
Yeah. And that I laid it out all in order. It was beautiful.
Well, who knows? Maybe down the road we will see you guys on Taxi Cab Confessions.
You can hope. Yeah. You can
but
hope.
But it's for the air date in advance.
Right, get out of here.
And also, you know what? It's not so much, you know, you wonder if there's any sexuality there. Also, we unite in hate. And there was a lot of good things
but
to hate.
But that's not a sexual thing, though, you see.
No, you're right.
You unite in hate. It's an interesting... It's an incredibly interesting friendship. It's not only interesting for you guys. It's interesting for those of us that observe the way you two behave.
Yes.
I've always found it to be a fascinating thing. And it's not... there's no sexuality in it whatsoever.
Right.
Sexuality gets in the way of the hatred.
It does. It slows it down. And there's so many things to make fun of in that peculiar...
All I can tell you is that I believe probably Carrie was very, very understanding on the weekend.
She was.
She probably experienced a bit of neglect.
She was, no, you know what?
I will say.
Did you spend some time, quality time with your bride?
Absolutely.
About 3 hours. We had about 3 hours.
A total of
separate,
3 hours.
Where Rob was with Carrie.
We did.
I'll say this. And I don't want to bust you on this, Rob.
Go ahead.
But I get this from Frieda all the time. At least I opened doors for your wife.
I opened a door or two.
You were the king of just letting her walk. I mean,
would you and Don go through the doors first, and then Carrie would be trailing behind?
It depends on how it fell out.
I wasn't keeping
question. A lot of times, Rob would be the first through, and then I would stand and hold the door
right
for Carrie.
Hey, very good.
Not every time.
That's good.
Easy to hold the door for Carrie. Much easier to hurry up to the tables.
All right, we got a break. When we come back, we'll tell you the non-faggy part about Siegfried and Roy.
Yes.
And the walkout. And
sure.
I'll need the phone number to the Mirage, incidentally, because I demand a refund.
Very good.
And I want to speak to Roy, because he totally gets gypped in the show.
Huh.
Roy
Siegfried
does,
the blonde guy?
Yeah. Yeah, let me see.
They're both blonde now.
Yeah, who knows? And they both, the outfits they had on, you know those people from Clone Aid? The people who said
right?
Clone, those are the outfits these two faggots had on during their alleged magic show.
Charles Broyle has just come back into the studio.
To say break for commercials? You got it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Vegas was a place where millions of suckers flew in every year on their own nickel and left behind about $1 billion. But at night, you couldn't see the desert that surrounds Las Vegas. But it's in the desert where lots of the town's problems are solved.
Someone called for a doctor? In the desert, and a lot of problems are buried in those holes. Except you gotta do it right. I mean, you gotta have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the trunk. Otherwise, you're talking about half hour, 45 minutes of digging. And who knows who's going to be coming along in that time. Before you know it, you got to dig a few more holes. You could be there all night.
The Don and Mike Show.
Someone call for a doctor?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They say the word pussy.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Someone called for a doctor?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. You guys rock, that's Tim.
Thanks.
Hey, I was with that guy at the hotel. He didn't come clean. He was chickening out, I think, that he didn't want to tell the whole story, but I just thought I would complain.
Right.
Okay, good job.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, I was just having one of those days, and, you know, I was just calling to say thanks. You know, I flicked my boys on the radio, and you made me laugh. You always do. You guys are hilarious.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Very nice of you to say that.
Hey, Mike, the Red Sox going to do it this year.
Absolutely. I watched them last night.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All I'm right, so pathetic. I'm sitting there at midnight. They have a rebroadcast of the first exhibition game that they actually not the first one, but it came on a rebroadcast at midnight. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting there watching the Red Sox down in Florida play spring training
and losing. Don't forget our bet.
Yes,
Tom Gavin at a titty bar.
At a tie bar.
Titty bar.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
With a loser if the Red Sox
don't make it to the postseason.
Don't make it to the postseason.
Oh, they're a lock for the postseason this year. Maybe not the World Series, but they're going to the
not a chance.
They're going to the
hello?
Postseason. Yes, record it. Save it, Rob.
Baby.
Oh, hi, sweetie.
Baby. Now here's a woman who I'm sure is very happy. I don't know if you listened to the show or not today.
Yep. Most of it.
You must be happy to hear
that I was not there.
No. And I couldn't even spot a whore. I didn't see a whore.
Yeah, I guess that makes me happy.
You know, Carrie got a lovely email from Frieda this morning enumerating the fact how glad she was that she wasn't in Las Vegas.
Right, poor Carrie.
How would I, the only question I have is that if Frieda had gone to Las Vegas, how would she have, you would have had to sit three across in the front so you guys could have the back seat to yourself.
I have a feeling, Mike, it would have been separate taxis.
Rob, for the flight, Rob already had it worked out that Carrie and Frieda would sit together.
Right.
God, this sounds faggy again.
That was Carrie's idea.
And Rob and I would sit there.
Yeah, and I'm sure you were kicking and screaming at that. Oh, no, my darling, let me sit next to you.
Listen, I don't want to brag about my kid, but my kid is smarter than me or my wife. Do you know, besides Clemson, which he got accepted to,
right?
He got accepted to Penn State, and over the weekend got accepted also to the University of Georgia.
Hey, a Bulldog.
Excellent. So now, who knows where next?
Yeah, nice to have that. Go back problem. On the college tour again after he finishes. After March is the month, I think, that you hear from most colleges, and so after he's heard from the ones he's applied to, then we hit the road again to
narrow it down.
All right,
I love you.
All right, I love you too. Boo boo.
Missed you out there.
I missed you here too, my darling.
Missed you out there. And how was that traffic court all day Saturday?
Oh, I learned a lot. The next run-in is on your shoulder.
You got
I've done
it.
My bit.
You got it.
All right, boo boo.
All right, baby.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye. See you later. See, I'm no fag, and that's my wife.
That's right.
It's my wife. We've been married 22 years. I'm no fag, okay? Right. Just because I didn't happen to see these whores you're talking about in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Hello.
Who cares about that?
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
How you doing today?
Great.
Great. Hey, I got a question for Rob A.
He's
Rob
here.
A.
Hey.
Pitcher or catcher?
Now stop that.
Will you knock it off?
That's like taking a great joke that I'm having fun with, right, and then you're going to ruin it, and I'm not going to have fun with it anymore.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's called the subtlety of comedy, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Learn it.
Hello.
Live it.
Love it.
Are ye there?
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I feel like I'm being recruited.
I just want to let you know that the Red Sox are not doing nothing this year. This is the Phillies' year.
Well, let's figure out if the Red Sox can maybe take a few grammar lessons.
By saying not doing nothing, he's indicating they're going to do something.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Don?
Don and Mike, hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I keep hearing in my ear, hi, this is Ronnie. Yes. I was at Las Vegas last week also.
Yeah.
And got to see the lovely Siegfried and Roy also.
It's not Siegfried, is it?
Yes, no, I don't know.
It's Siegfried with an S.
Zig, whatever.
Is this Ronnie Spector?
It's S. It's S as in suck.
I know. They were kitschy, I'll say that. Did you notice, not that you guys are gay, but did you notice Roy's package?
Ooh. The little one that swings on the rope?
Yes, I couldn't keep my eyes off of it. I'm sure it's the harnessing and the whole bit, but my God.
And of course it's Siegfried. Didn't you hear what the dragon was saying?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. The Mr. Roboto dragon?
Really?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Don. I work at the Mirage. I wondered how you liked the hotel itself.
You wanted to what, honey?
No, she wants to know how you like the hotel itself.
Yeah. How did you like the Mirage Hotel?
Sucks.
Oh, come on. I worked there. I was looking for you all night.
Two words. Cheese dick.
Oh, come on. It's a
really?
Nice place.
No, honey. It's white trash.
Are you responsible for the thatched roofs?
No, not any of it.
How about like fake jungle?
So I worked in one of the restaurants, and I was dying. Every time I saw three people come in, I was looking for you.
Now, she's making a living. She can't help it.
God bless you, honey.
That's my paycheck.
She was looking for you guys, so she would have shown you a good time.
I would have. I'm disappointed, but I'm glad you were there. I was excited to know you were at least in town.
Yes, we were. And, you know, really, if not for our awful experience seeing the fag and fag Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, well, they are. What are you going to do? Millions of people go see them. They don't care.
Millions of schmucks.
I know.
Now, you were
going
to say, hold on, ma'am, now calm down.
Yes.
Don was about to say something like, if not for the experience.
And also Vampira, our blackjack dealer at the Mirage.
It's not a bad place. Our entire Mirage experience was tainted by Siegfried and Roy, which is why... Are you at work right now?
No, I'm on my way. About an hour, I'm leaving.
All right. I'm going to be calling and asking for a refund.
I know, I heard you. I want to hear about that.
All right.
Okay, darling.
All right, I'll do it.
Bye-bye. Bye, love you guys.
See you. Love you, too.
Love you.
Bye-bye. How many cigarettes you figure she smokes on the way to the Mirage?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
You know, you can still be gay and be married. It's called bisexual. So, I mean, I know you're married and all.
Did you say
still
guy?
Be gay,
I think he said gay.
Gay.
Guy.
That, yeah, I just want to tell you. So.
I understand. And you realize you could be dumb and still be stupid at the same time.
Yeah, but it really doesn't matter. Now.
There you go. Well, then we're all happy.
Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but you're gay. I'm not. That's the big difference.
So. No, listen. Here's the thing. I'm not gay, but you are dumb and stupid.
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Again, you know,
I'd rather be dumb and stupid than gay, though.
And here's
the deal. No, I didn't say you were gay. I said you can be gay and still marry.
Let me just say something to you. So, you know, this show, really, I've never prided myself on the fact that this show has a tremendous lot of intricacies and nuances that you would find in highbrow satirical comedy, but I'll tell you, you don't get our nuances. You don't get the subtleties. You don't get the fun of it. You really don't get it. You don't. No, you really don't get it.
Doesn't get it.
And it's really frustrating. It's one thing if a guy doesn't get it and he stays in his own little stupid world and he doesn't call, but when a guy doesn't get it and then you make your way over to the phone and you somehow with that low IQ process how to dial us up. And then you call.
It's a rotary phone.
You ruin it for everybody. You really do. Why can't you just let us have our fun?
I did not have fun. I just wanted to give
no,
you some information.
No, no, you're not funny. You're not funny,
and, married,
and you don't
all.
Get it. You know,
no,
you
can. If I was
you
funny,
be,
I would be a comedian. I'm
you
not
can be.
To be a comedian. I'm
you can be dumb.
You can be married and gay.
And you can be dumb and stupid and borderline retarded.
Correct.
And
sir.
Still be a high functioning retard.
We're sitting
correct,
there. We're
sir.
Having a great time doing a little bit on Don and Rob, who are not gay, and we're having this fun. And you know, and it's my fun. I'm enjoying it just about as much as anybody. And you're peeing all over it. So
peeing,
knock it off. Go
I'm not,
away.
I'm not gay. I'm not peeing. That's
go
all right. I'm
away.
Not gay. That's
go?
My last time listener.
Let me
good.
Just
hey, good. There we got. We good. Finally got some good news. A last time listener.
Hey, good.
I doubt that.
Yeah, he'll be listening.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt that. You know he will. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Someday, you know,
up.
5 years from now when we do our last show, we'll let that call through.
Oh, no, because then if we did that, we'd have our last show and then we'd be, you know, we'd be seeing these people for another 5 years.
I guess so. All right, let's get to the Siegfried and Roy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, congratulations, guys, on the winning.
Yeah, we did okay. That's the second call in a row we had to dump out on. The first call was a funny call.
Yes, right.
The guy calls all the time, and he never makes it on the air.
The next guy said, hey, it's better than effing losing.
So we had to hang up on that guy, too. All right. Siegfried and Roy.
Yes. You've got your program. Did you have to buy that, or did it come with the ticket?
This came with the $110 ticket that I purchased, along with the two drinks, the two watered down five-ounce drinks we got.
Vodka from a plastic bottle drinks that are included with your ticket.
Now, to look at this pamphlet, you might think, all right, these guys are queer, but they got a rap going as being good magicians.
Well, and they're also like good with the animals,
and
right?
Right here, you can see. In this pamphlet, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 tigers.
Tigers.
12 tigers. Mike, I'm getting somewhere with this.
I understand. I'm just laughing at the pamphlet.
It's nothing faggy.
It's funny.
We get to the mirage. Oh, hold on. Here's another call. I think we should take this. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I was wondering if Carrie had her own room. Because Rob said they only spent 3 hours together.
No, we actually spent quite a bit of time together, to be honest with ye.
Right.
So
we shared a room.
No, they
separate bed.
Meant the time.
Who shared the room? Don and Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Perhaps
Rob
cut him loose.
Rob, always after we had sex, we'd say.
Someone called for a doctor.
We'd say that whenever we had sex. All right, bye-bye.
So thanks, guys.
You know,
lovely relation.
Boys, I'm sorry I brought this whole thing up, and I should just kept my mouth shut because, you know, people are just teetering on it right now.
Yeah, sure.
No, that's okay.
But and I'm just still laughing watching you with that thing in your hands there, that Siegfried and Roy. Look at that.
Pictures.
My God.
Look at him.
Very colorful.
So, we go over because Carrie's read the brochures that say you got to get the tickets early.
Right. Okay. So white lines.
We go over to the Mirage like at 9 a.m. to pick up the tickets. They say, now don't forget the show's at 7:30. You'll want to be in your seats at 6:30. We don't. Well, now this is bull, because we have tickets to see these dumb gay magicians,
right?
We'll resell the seats.
So we get in line, and this is where we had just a grand moment, where there was a guy, and again at the Mirage, there was a sign, you can dress however you want in the Mirage, in the casino,
right?
In the restaurant, but outside the Siegfried and Roy Theater,
yeah,
there's a big sign that says no tank tops,
right?
No swimming trunks.
They hate the tank tops, don't they, huh?
Yeah. No shirt, no shoes, no illusions.
Well, there was a guy behind us, a NASCAR fan.
Red jacket.
Who, for some reason, yeah, they all have the red number 8 Dale Jr.
Dale Jr., he's the hot one.
For some reason, I'm like the no pest strip, that they all talk to me.
True.
We're just standing in line, and the guy says, I feel a tap on my shoulder, and he goes, totally unintelligible. Partly because, and I ask you not, he's missing some teeth.
Okay,
he
right.
says, he's proudly wearing his NASCAR jacket. Look at me. And I said, excuse me?
Now, meanwhile, are you dressed as, like, Danny Ocean?
Yeah, oh, I had on the mobster outfit.
Right.
I mean, I had it going on. I had the silver shirt with the silver
right.
tie.
Right. Right.
Blah, black.
Probably why he was asking you. You know, hey, don't I look all right?
And I had on the most gorgeous dress.
Strapless.
So we didn't understand what the guy was saying, but suffice it to say, he didn't live up to the Siegfried and Roy dress code.
He was not dressed properly.
So we get in the theater.
The Siegfried and Roy Theater.
The Siegfried and Roy Theater.
Right.
And
when you know you've arrived out in Vegas, when you get your own theater.
And it holds about 1,500 people. And there's a laser light show that's going on before they come out, in which there's an object. It looked like a
phallus.
If you wanted to read into it, Mike, yeah.
Ah.
It kind of looked like it could have been a dildo.
Right, right.
That would... Yeah, it would fly around the room, and then the letters would...
Oh, here it comes. Duck!
Then the letters would spell out Siegfried, Roy,
right,
Master Illusionist.
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting, and the music is playing. The only thing I can say musically, it sounded very much like Mr. Roboto.
Okay.
There was a lot of that...
Yeah, but grander, almost. Like,
right.
Well, that's
orchestral.
Cool.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
It's no? way over the top.
No, okay.
I mean, it's like if Styx really got to do what they ever wanted.
All right.
To do.
Okay.
It sang too. Don't forget.
I like Styx. So at one point, it's 7:29. The lights go down, and the announcer comes on because they're going to turn on the smoke machine.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them what the guy says.
And the lights go down. And first of all, one goof I love doing in a situation like that is trying to start spontaneous applause.
We both tried this like
and
10
no
times.
One would do it.
Now I'm laughing.
When the lights went down,
right?
Rob and I were the only guys going.
Because hoping that all these mooks would join us in.
Right,
and so there
right.
was a, so that
nobody would.
Oh, a couple of cocktails under your belt at this point, perhaps?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, they just... No, we didn't even get our drinks until the illusion.
Were there any hookers at your table?
Thousands.
Okay.
And then you get...
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are about to turn on the illusion fog machine. Be aware, this is stage fog and is perfectly harmless. You are in no danger. Welcome to the world of Siegfried and Roy!
And then they announce also that you can't take any pictures.
That's standard practice,
right. But it's like being on a cruise ship.
Right.
Because one of the come-ons is they walk around during the show and they take your picture. And then on the way out, you're offered the opportunity for $20 to buy your picture.
Right? Now, and also the people that are taking the pictures have like long black satanic robes and silver masks on. So they're taking your picture, and if there's youngsters at your table, they're putting stickers on their face. And when they approached Don for a sticker, he replied, "No, against my religion, I don't subscribe to the Satan stuff."
Man, so this is quite a dog and pony show. Oh, the show hasn't even begun
yet. So they got the people wearing really the dark robes. They're mimes.
Right.
They're coming in front of the table.
So you guys are pretty much, you're spent already, even before the show is
We really could have left before it began. Yeah.
Just keep in mind, really the reason.
How close are you?
We're all the way in the very... You couldn't get any further back than we were.
Wow. But as the people at the Mirage would tell you, this is a theater designed for this show. No obstructed view. There's not a bad seat in the house.
So we're in the absolute back row.
That sucks.
And we have... We have families of nose pickers and pickers and eaters. I mean, all of these NASCAR fans who are there to see, you know, the famed gay magicians.
Sure.
So the lights go down, they make this big announcement, and it begins. Now, I have not seen this play, but I've seen ads for The Lion King.
Right.
This is all I can equate it to. At one point, before Siegfried and Roy come out, for about the first 5 minutes, the stage is loaded with about 100 gay men carrying big, gigantic feathers and running around as if they're in some kind of a panic. And the music that's playing is like...
If you're familiar with the song, it's a famous classical piece, Carmina Burana. They play it a lot of times when football teams come out. It's very scary, satanic music.
Yeah.
La 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 la.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
Very much like that. And there's the fog, and there's the costumes.
You didn't you have that in back here when you used to introduce the Redskins?
That's exactly what the Redskins used.
Exactly. And you've got I noticed very few women. Lots of guys on stage.
Right.
Lots of shirtless guys.
Yeah, tight pants.
Wearing headgear, wearing some of them wearing fig leaves.
Yeah.
Cutting around with the buttocks and everything.
Oh, my.
And the music, and then you start hearing Siegfried. Really? And the announcer says, "Welcome to the Siegfried and Roy Show. Good versus evil."
At this point, there is maybe a 100-foot platform on the stage that starts to rise, and they're all running around, and there's still smoke and feathers. And you know, you see, cheerleaders at football games, they have a 4-foot stick with an 8-foot ribbon on it, and they make there's a lot of that going on, and lights behind moving walls.
And it was already at this point, I was ready to go.
It's got that halftime spectacular feel to it.
The faggots hadn't even come out yet. I was ready to go. We got a break. Hold on. When we come back, we'll tell you why we left.
A thrilling conclusion to the stage pod.
We'll show you the program, and then we'll call the Mirage to demand the money back.
Oh, that's funny.
You'll know once and for all, we're no fags.
Really funny.
You got Siegfried and Roy's first names?
Yeah.
What are they?
You know, it's really not Siegfried and Roy. It's Neil and Bob.
Well, that's important to know which is which.
Doesn't matter.
No, it does. It does, because we're gonna. You'll hear later why we need to speak to Roy.
The guy is wrong. Those are their real first names. They have last names because Buzz has had them on the before, haven't you?
It's just an old joke, you know.
Yeah. Neil and Bob.
That's a great joke. Oh,
hold on. I guess.
Good joke. It's a little joke.
Nice. I didn't realize that it was open mic night.
Val, just remember, it's only stage fog.
He's no Danny Gans.
Someone called for a doctor?
That was the other show.
Yeah, also at the Mirage.
Oh, really?
Couldn't get tickets.
Right.
Goodbye.
Darn the luck.
Goodbye, funny man.
Hey, you're welcome. Bye.
There he goes. And then he gives you the show business. Bye.
Bye. Douche. Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hello, gentle persons.
Hello, gentle person.
Where can the listeners go so we can see the photo of Don and Rob arm in arm in the complimentary white bathrobes and their hair wrapped up in a towel, smiling and waving? And also, Don, did you leave any cheese balls on the nightstand?
No, this is going to sound gay.
So the answer to that question would be yes and no.
You know Carrie took that picture.
No, the picture she did take was us in front of the Charlie slot machine.
The world's biggest... slot machine.
There you go.
I love you guys.
See you later.
Love you.
Bye-bye. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right. You proved your point. You broke into my vault. Congratulations. You're a dead man.
Maybe.
Maybe. May I ask how you expect to leave?
Do you believe I'm going to allow you to parade bags full of my money out my casino doors?
No, you're going to carry that for us.
And why would I do that?
Take a closer look at your monitor.
As your manager's probably reporting to you now, you have a little over $160 million in your vault tonight. You may notice we're only packing up about half that. The other half we're leaving in your vault, booby-trapped, as a hostage.
You let our $80 million go, and you get to keep yours. That's the deal. You try and stop us, we'll blow both casinos. Mr. Benedict, you can lose $80 million tonight secretly, or you can lose $160 million publicly. It's your decision.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Jesus, he's mad at them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I make you sad.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Okay.
Someone called for a doctor?
So here's the deal. You know this by now. Robbie and I are in Las Vegas. As a goof, we're going to go see Siegfried and Roy.
From the first part of your story, it seems you guys were not having the best of times.
No. The words cheese dick come to mind when you think that the Mirage has spent millions of dollars
right
to build these guys their own theater.
Right. Yeah, and you know, a special theater, I guess, because of the animals and all that stuff, right?
If you've ever been to, say, Busch Gardens,
right,
King's Dominion, and they have the shows that they go throughout the day.
Yeah.
I'd say this is a larger scope,
right,
but of a similar quality.
Now,
wow.
Yeah.
If you'd like to know the caliber of laser light show, if perhaps 20 years ago or so, you went to see ELO in concert, this is the genre of what you're getting.
Ah.
Okay? Or if you go to a basketball game now, if you go to an NBA game,
right,
the way that the lights
yeah, right,
go
right,
and
right,
they spell out the guys' names on the floor
sure,
when it's dark. So, it's the whole big thing with the music, with the ho, 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 and
guys with the fig leaves running around.
Hey, guys, what can best be described as National Geographic outfits.
Okay, all right.
Red, they're painted red, their bodies are painted red,
mm-hmm,
they have headdresses on, and the announcer says, "Welcome to the world of Siegfried and Roy, good versus evil." And then there are these two very cheesy lasers that give you these two little spots of light,
right,
that get bigger and bigger. But again, it's nothing fantastic. It's just these little spotlights, and then out of the spotlights are these poofs of smoke,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden, there they are, Siegfried and Roy.
In their space outfits?
Wearing the Clone 8 outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, picture in here of the outfits.
There's a picture here.
Yeah, towards the back.
Okay. So we can actually show my... Well, first, Mike, here you can help describe. These are the gay outfits that the fellas, that the all-male cast was wearing as Siegfried and Roy came out on stage.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Perhaps you can help describe what I'm trying to get at.
Now, these are, and they're using those kind of puppets where a guy's got a bar, he's holding a metal bar, and he's got three marionette things dancing on top of it, that type, so it appears to be more bodies on stage than there really are.
Right, right.
And it appears, Don, that the men are controlling those, and all the alleged women are actually those little puppets, those little marionettes that they have on the bar.
Here are the outfits that Siegfried and Roy were wearing.
There they are, space age.
They look like bad Star Trek villains.
Pirate shirts.
Like from the Captain Kirk Star Trek.
Right.
So they come out, draw your own foul conclusion with this. They pull out their sabers, and they touch the ends together.
Oh.
They cross their swords.
Right.
And at this point, this is where the effects get off.
Do we see any animals yet?
Not yet. Not yet. The first trick is they bring one of the girls, one of the few women that's on stage dancing, and there are hundreds of gay men on stage dancing while this music is playing, this Mr. Roboto type soundtrack, and for some reason, Roy's got nothing to do with the show. But there's a giant voice that keeps saying,
Siegfried! Siegfried!
Isn't he the lion tamer? Isn't that his big thing, right?
Well, I don't know. We didn't stay long enough.
Is the girl hot, at least, that they bring up? Do you have a television monitor so you can see what's going on up close?
No, and the girl, we were close enough to see, she wasn't hot.
Right.
She, she most resembled his, Mrs. Green Thumbs from Regis and Kelly Lee. Oh,
yeah, and really? She's all made up, like, do you remember when Natalie Portman in the first Star Trek movie is, like, white-faced with
Star
feathers?
Wars. Right, right.
Forgive me.
Okay.
It's like that. You can't see any linear representation of her body at all. She just looks
so
like
we're already at the point where we're getting ready to maybe stand up.
Yeah.
At this
point. Yeah. She gets into a basket. She, you know, she's like a contortionist. She gets into this little basket. And Siegfried and Roy grandly pull out their swords like,
yeah,
you know, the oldest magic trick in the world where the girl goes into the basket and they start putting the swords in the basket
right.
on both sides. And of course, as it turns out,
she's fine.
The girl's not there.
It's magic.
She reappears somewhere else. But it's
an illusion, Mike.
It's bad. It's bad magic.
Horrible.
Now, at one point, Roy's gone. And Siegfried. Siegfried, they're doing this thing with the. They've still got the Mr. Roboto music playing, and the hundreds of gay dancers on stage, and the voices going,
Siegfried.
And he's doing this over exaggerated acting where he's on stage and he's got his hand on his brow like he's on a ship and he's looking out.
Oh, I hate that.
And he's doing this thing where he's appearing to go, he's so overacting, going, you know, where is my buddy Roy?
Right.
Roy!
Was ist Roy?
Where are you, Roy?
Was ist los?
And all of a sudden, from out of the floor, the way Ace Frehley's drum kit used to come,
right,
comes Roy. Now, on each side of Roy are two pillars that have...
Phalluses?
No, I am not kidding.
Barry Manilow?
Sparklers.
Right.
And, like, sparklers that you buy your kid...
Uh-huh.
On the 4th of July.
Little tiny sparklers.
Wouldn't even cut it at a concert in a small venue.
Right,
I mean, this
okay.
is bad stuff.
They're sparklers.
Yeah.
They are freaking sparklers.
Right.
So Roy appears, and once Roy appears from underneath the stage, he gets on a rope, and he swings across the stage. And all it is just little faggy Roy... swinging across the stage. And the crowd, of course, they, you know,
now they clap.
They're going nuts.
Does he swing out into the audience at all? Or?
Over the audience.
Oh, he swings way over the audience?
Over the audience. So allegedly, they're fighting crime, and Siegfried has made Roy appear.
You know what's funny is listening to you, I know at this point, you're really half paying attention.
Now,
you're totally turned off.
I'm ready to go, but I want to see the Tigers.
Right.
Okay? I figure I paid $400 for the tickets.
That's true.
So, they bring out one tiger. One tiger comes out, and they make him walk around the stage, and he walks.
Does the tiger get a big round of applause?
Yeah, the idiots love the tiger. And the tiger goes up a ramp, and now the tiger's in the cage. And at this point, I said to Carrie, we were sitting... You'll be glad to know it wasn't Rob and I next to each other.
Right.
It was Carrie in between us in the booth, and I said to Carrie, this is such an effing ripoff. I almost said the F word. This is such an F-U-ing ripoff that's not even a real tiger roaring. That's like a bad sound effect record of the tiger roaring. And she said,
for the show.
She said, oh, no, it's not. And I said, yes, it is. First off, do you think that they put a lavalier microphone on the tiger? And I said, check it out. Check out the tiger, like, laying down, looking like he's sleeping, while we're hearing...
So you're pissed at this point.
Yeah, and, or, excuse me, it was... See, someone's calling. It was Peter Criss, not Ace Frehley, who was the drummer.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever. Right. You got what I'm sure. saying. So the one trick they did was they get the tiger, who must have been on some kind of animal tranquilizer, because it did not appear to be menacing in any way.
Right.
And it also had that sort of pet-a-pet farm look where the stomach hangs lower than mine, you know what I mean? And the stomach seems to be not even touching
right.
the animal.
Right.
This is a lazy tiger.
So they put the tiger in the cage, and it, of course, is all very faggy and theatrical with them getting the big piece of silk and putting it over the cage and lots of waving of the arms.
Misdirection!
And lots of, you know, gay dancing and the music and the... Siegfried! Siegfried! And then a poof of smoke. Bad pyrotechnics. I mean...
Why'd they call it good versus evil?
We didn't stay long enough to find out. Because they may... And then at that point, they pull the cover off, they pull the blanket off, and the tiger's gone.
Wow.
So they made the, you know, BFD. hello. Trap door.
Right.
That's right.
When the tiger is gone, was that when you decided that you were gone, too?
Yeah.
When did the illusion...
One more
you...
illusion, though. What Don't was... forget the big red dragon.
Oh, all right. Now they have...
Now,
the
I really... Oh, now they have... You guys know me, seriously. And Don, you know this. Would I probably have been, like, lobbying not to stay for one more illusion and been gone before then? Or
yeah, and Mike, if it was you and I, we would have walked out seriously when they were announcing, you know, about the smoke.
Yeah, I so do not like the big production.
There is a gigantic fake dinosaur slash monster.
Like a dragon thing.
A dragon.
Gay dragon.
It looks like something that you would see... In a Chinese New Year parade.
Really? Okay. Okay. Like a paper mache.
Yeah. And it's got Christmas lights going up and down the side of it. And it's just so cheesy. And on the end of the big arms of this thing are two trash cans. And really, that's what they were.
They are.
Metal trash cans on this giant mechanical dragon. And you see Siegfried and Roy climb up the little ladders. And they get inside the trash can.
Right.
But you're giving them too much credit because from the appearance of the dragon, who, by the way, was the one saying Siegfried all along.
Right.
You find this out. To them getting in the trash can, easily 8 minutes.
Right.
I mean, it's just there wasn't enough content to the tricks.
Right.
Now, 10 minutes pass and they're in the
but
trash
can. But a lot of arms waving and we're going to... Yeah. It's
so now
all showmanship.
So now they're in the garbage cans, which are being held by these big arms of this fake... mechanical the Chinese dinosaur, and you see their hands. All you see are their hands.
Oh, the mechanical hand. They kept doing the same repeated motion.
And it was obvious it wasn't their real hands, because you could see the hands were doing a synchronized 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1,
right.
2, now,
right.
At this point, the dragon...
I'm mad. You're doing a good job. I'm mad already because
you're
doing
point,
a good job.
At this point, the dragon gets mad. The music starts getting angrier. And the dragon's mouth opens up, and some guy has got like a, you know, a flamethrower back
there. Tip a lighter.
You know, whoosh, so some fire comes out of the dragon's mouth, and
right.
Mad. And allegedly what he's doing is crushing the garbage cans that have Siegfried and Roy inside.
Oh, no.
Now, again, Buzz, we are treated to a pre-recorded soundtrack so that what we are hearing through this fabulous multi-million dollar sound system is the sound of a Coca-Cola can
crushing.
Being crushed.
But what we're seeing is a Rubbermaid trash can being bent until it's reinflated later.
Right.
So this
right.
is what we're hearing. It's something like this. I've just done that with a Coke can.
Chilling. That's a live sound effect from the Don and Mike Theater.
Now, imagine this. You paid $110.
Right, right.
You see fake fingers.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes, and... And magically...
Right.
From opposite ends of the theater...
Yeah.
There is more... Bad sparklers,
right?
And then fag come out,
come running out,
and the audience of retards goes crazy.
Right.
Like, this is the most fascinating illusion. And at this point, I said, Rob and Kerry, you are free to do as you like. I cannot stand another moment
you
of
were
this.
Hot.
He was. I was really pissed.
Right.
I hadn't gotten to the mad level yet. I was still disbelieving how bad it was, but he was pissed.
I said, I knew it was going to be bad. I knew it was going to be cheesy.
Right.
But I thought it was going to be the cheesy kind of thing that mm-hmm. to be able to have a drink and laugh at.
Sure.
Not these two faggots coming out, and not even...
We should say not that there's anything wrong
that's
with that.
Right. No, and it's not that... I mean, I'm looking at them, first of all, and they don't speak, okay?
Right.
So you don't get any of the, hiya, this is Siegfried.
But I am going.
And right. It is so nice to meet you.
Right.
They don't speak a word. They just come out, here's more of the dancers wearing... The extremely gay outfits.
Now, those are women there.
Yeah, these like, well, Mike, although a lot of it was birdcage action.
Yeah.
A lot of it was men dressed as women.
And weren't you sort of anticipating them coming out and introducing a trick, doing a trick, and then we clap and then they talk again?
All right, Mike,
we didn't even get any German accents.
Here you go. Here's the here's a picture of the dragon that we were discussing. The big fake dragon that holds them. Can you see how cheesy that picture is from the program that we got?
Yeah, it looks like it's horrible.
Yeah, it looks like it's made of paper mache.
Basically, yeah.
It really does. So we get up and we've gotten dirty looks from the people around us.
Oh, the BM eaters are mad now.
Because, first off...
Because you're being vocal in your...
Well, we've tried to start the fake applause five or six times, and no one's taken us up on it.
That was a bad play on our part.
And we're laughing in the wrong parts. Like, we're laughing when Roy's swinging across the stage. We're uncontrollably laughing. And then when we get up to leave, and we check the watch, 7:58, so we had been there 28 minutes. He was at that point, swear to God, I felt... Every pair of 1,500 people, I felt 3,000 eyes on us.
Right.
As everybody in the theater looking at us as if, what is wrong with these three people?
Why are you leaving?
And the guy at the door said, bathroom is right to the right. As we walked by, I said, no, we're leaving.
Bye.
And the guy incredulously said, you're leaving? There's no re-entry. I say, no ass. There's no re-entry. I'm out of here.
Right.
So, suffice it to say...
That was the Siegfried and Roy show.
I am now going to call the Mirage to demand a refund.
Okay.
And also, I'd like to speak...
It was not the best show you've ever seen. Rob, can I see that little brochure?
I'd like to speak to Roy. Yeah. Oh, crap, what'd I do? Yeah, hi, listen, I'm on the radio. Would you like the Don and Mike show? We're doing a national show. How'd you like to come on the radio with us? I was a guest at your hotel. Hello? Honey? Oh, I'm ringing somewhere else now. Hello? You know, what did you guys do? What buttons did you hit?
It was not affected.
Again, if you need help, hang up.
That's the regular operator sound.
All right, hold on. You know what? Let me get this phone system flipped out, straightened out, because I guess when 2 seconds of it got on the air, some people around here started flipping out. Let me just try real quick before we have to break. 702. Let me do the first part of this off the air, okay? All right.
Hey, and I think that he's wearing like...
Yes, is this the Mirage? Yes, who would I talk to about getting a refund? Thank you. I'm on hold now.
Of course.
Very good, good luck.
Now it's ringing.
Ringing.
Good afternoon, accounts payable. Hi, my name is Daniel Ocean. I was at the Siegfried and Roy show Saturday night. Bought 4 tickets... and I would like to know, first off, well, there are a couple of, how do I say this politely? It was perhaps...
not the best show you've ever seen.
The worst... to call it entertainment would be a slam on any kind of real entertainment. I was beyond disappointed with the performance that I saw, the 28 minutes that I saw. And I'd like to know how the Mirage will either give me my 28 minutes back, or even better, refund part of the $400 worth of tickets I bought. Because, hello? Hold on one moment.
Checking into it.
Okay. Just let me prove to you that I'm on with the Mirage here. You'll hear. Let me put this on hold. You're going to hear now some of the beautiful on hold music.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
As I wait.
Did you stay for the part where Roy was a winged creature?
No. No, we didn't. We didn't. Mike, something tells me as you read the pamphlet,
yeah,
it's got to be better than what the show really was.
Yeah, but I mean, like that picture of the dragon, you can't even really tell what it is.
I'm still on hold. Jesus. I'm hearing bad, like, Martina McBride music.
Oh, dear.
What am I hearing? Hello?
Oh. Christ. It strikes me it's maybe more about them being wealthy than it is anything else.
And also, I'd like to speak to Roy. Because Siegfried's the man. Poor Roy.
Doesn't seem right.
And even during the show, during the awful Mr. Roboto music,
mm-hmm,
the voice is just calling out, Siegfried. Siegfried.
Well, he's the big star. He's the lion tamer, I think.
Mm.
Tamer? He didn't tame the lion? Yes. That's okay. Well, how about a manager? What you're told is,
well,
Angela Lust. I tell you what,
pretty interesting.
I would appreciate in lieu of
not half
financial, you know, repayment or you know, God knows I'll never get that 28 minutes back. I do a national radio show. Would you or someone from the Mirage like to come on the air and just apologize? No, this is on the level. I do a national radio show, and I'd like to put... would you like to come on the air with me for a second? You're not permitted to. Well, if you could find somebody, I would like... May I speak to Roy? How about Roy Horn? I didn't really care for Siegfried Fischbacher, but Roy Horn, I thought, was the unsung hero of the 28 minutes that I had to sit through. Hello?
I'm back on hold again. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, let me just...
I can't imagine why he'd be back on hold.
Yeah, now we've... Yeah, hello, hi. Hi. I'm doing a radio show. You're not on the radio right now. I was lucky enough to be in your hotel on Saturday night for the Siegfried and Roy show. And if I could be brutally honest, it sucked. I mean, it blew, it sucked. It blew chunks. I spent $400. I walked out after 28 minutes. And I'd like to know if one of three things. First, if there's any way the Mirage could turn back time to give me back the 28 minutes that I spent in the theater, or if they could refund my ticket price. I bought four tickets at $110 each. Or if someone from the Mirage would just like to come on the radio and just say that they were sorry. Yes? Accounts payable. Well, I'd be glad to. How about would you... What's your name, my friend? Pete, you're the assistant. Pete, would you come on the air with us for a second? Why is that? Why is that? Because you're a worthless prick, Siegfried and Roy?
No.
Listen, I want to tell you something right now. I want to tell you something. When I'm being effed, why don't you kiss me first? Because when I'm being effed,
be
I like
that
to be
well.
Kissed.
No.
And I was, hello?
He hung up after that?
He hung up on
I can't imagine why he would do that. So I guess the moral of the story is you're not going to get satisfaction.
Oh, I will, Mike. We have to do a commercial break. But I will get my satisfaction.
Right. You know, you might not want to take on these guys too hard. You know, it might be like that guy in Ocean's 11. You know, you might end up talking to that guy.
Mr. Benedict?
You know what he's going to say?
What?
There's one thing I want you to do. Hide. Run and hide.
Run.
I yell all you want. They're not affiliated with the Mandalay Bay, and that's our place.
You got that right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. They got culture coming out of their asses. Don and Mike.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Scandal.
Hello?
Goodbye to you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, hi.
Hey. I just couldn't help calling you and letting you know that I can help you out with getting a refund on that show ticket.
Really, I don't really want the refund. It's kind of a goof.
It's like the other thing, though. Yeah,
who do you want to talk to? Because I've got phone numbers for every single one of them.
Every single one of who?
I used to work for Siegfried and Roy.
Really?
At the Mirage, yes. I was in the animal care department.
Mm-hmm. You got anything beyond the main number?
I mean, I do.
You got a number to get me right through to either Siegfried or Roy?
Yeah.
Really?
They have extensions to their dressing rooms too. And the other person you should talk to is Lynette.
Now listen, hold on. It's 2:45 in Las Vegas. Where would they be right now?
They don't show up to the theater until about 5:00 at night.
So where would they be? Any idea?
Probably at home.
Dressing.
Do you have a cell phone for them?
No, I do not.
You do not. Do you happen to know where their manager would be?
Bernie Human. give him a call. I would suggest you call through.
Are you a disgruntled former employee?
I just hung up on him.
Okay, because it was the crap detector.
Nowhere with that guy.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hey.
I could not agree with you more, Don. That show is the worst in the world, and it's sold out all the time. It just goes to show you how many freaking BM eaters love those guys.
I'll tell you how many. 3,000 people a night. Wow. Times $110 a ticket.
I was having a discussion with Rob during the break, though. I mean, when you're talking about Las Vegas, and you're talking about some of these shows, and you're talking about Branson, Missouri.
Right.
There's a line that a friend of mine used to say, people are dying to be entertained. And really, a show like that, it's not about necessarily how good the show is. It is the hype machine. It is the showmanship machine. Now look, Wayne Newton, I went to see Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton bills himself as like the world's greatest entertainer. He can do a million different things. He does a million different things. Meet with mediocrity, but because he's Wayne Newton, what Vegas is all about.
But these guys were not even mediocre.
No, they sucked. My wife and I we got roped into that show about a year ago. We wanted to see they were dark for the week, so one of the operators suggested Siegfried and Roy, and they must freaking chuckle after that. But we, halfway through the show, no joke, I get a call on my cell phone that my father-in-law had just died. So obviously we had to get up in the middle of the show. We were escorted out, and the usher says, you know, I'm very sorry to hear that. Call this number, get a refund. I spent 2 weeks trying to get a refund, had to send them the death certificate, the whole bit. Nada. They wouldn't do anything for us.
All right, thank you, my friend. And listen, we know.
Sorry about your father-in-law.
We know it's a bad show. That's why we went.
We counted on that.
We did that. You want to go so bad, it's good.
We didn't know that it would be this bad.
Well, that's the risk you take. Now, when I went to see Wayne Newton came on stage in a spacesuit. Now, right away, I'm not mad at Wayne Newton anymore. He gave me what I wanted. It sounds to me like you guys didn't get exactly what you wanted.
I have the number of Siegfried and Roy's manager.
All right, very good.
Allegedly.
Newton does it at all tongue-in-cheek, too. when he does stuff?
No.
No?
Not really, no. No, you got to realize the hype machine.
Calling that these Bernie guys,
the wealth,
Yellman.
The wealth they have, the you know, the incredible money they've made for a million years doing the same crap,
and the people standing in line.
It's amazing.
I got a machine.
Yeah,
the hype machine.
Let me try the main number.
All right, you can try the main number now.
Good luck.
See if you get your money back. And after what that guy said, then I think that's what you ought to keep asking for.
Well, I'm going to
your money
call.
Back. You didn't watch the whole show.
I'm going to use the name.
Danny Ocean? The name that opens doors.
Aha. Uh-huh. Hello, Sharon, darling. This is Aaron Spelling. How are you? I'm looking for either Bernie, who's the manager, as you know, for Siegfried and Roy, or perhaps...
As you know.
Someone in the upper management.
It's a fake crap detector stuff. As you know.
Bernie, thank you.
He's the manager, as you know.
As you know. Of course. This is Aaron Spelling from Texas.
It's the name.
Aaron Spelling opens doors.
Yes.
Now I got a ring. Hello, Kathleen. Aaron Spelling here. I'm looking for Bernie. Great.
It's the name that opens doors, even though
the number I'm calling from, I'm in Virginia right now. Have my assistant give it to you. Hold on, please. I'm doing something in Washington. Robbie, what's the number here?
That's always where they catch you.
Aaron, what's the number you're calling from?
You've had that happen before, Aaron, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So they can call you back.
But Aaron, I had the lie ready.
That's right.
I'm in Washington.
You've done that before. It's always their little trickster. Aaron Spelling with the New York accent from Texas. You know, and that name, when was the last time Aaron Spelling produced a television show?
And I'm telling you,
it still opens doors.
It opens every goddamn door.
And he didn't.
Now, Rob Stein is on the phone with...
What are you doing, Robbie?
They're checking now to see if they can get him.
Did they get Bernie?
I believe so.
Bernie. Benny Yeoman. Hello, it's Aaron Spelling.
I was at the show and I want my money back.
What are you doing, Robbie? Still on hold?
Yeah, they asked for a number that you could be called back at.
Yeah, of course they did. You know what that? You know what we call that in the business? A good assistant. But Aaron Spelling, on numerous occasions, has stampeded right through.
He gets through
the main man.
Hold on, here we go.
He knows entertainment.
Yeah.
We'll find out what happens here.
Aaron Spelling. Aaron Spelling.
Do you need me on the phone? Do you need me on the phone?
Aaron, I think you need to get back on the phone.
Okay. Do you need me?
No. They wanted to know if it was Alan Spelling.
Alan.
My brother Alan Spelling.
Aaron Spelling. You know, it's important for Aaron to get on the phone,
yes,
especially with an underling, so that he can let the underling know who he is.
And we're calling... And God, I wish this was 10 years ago, when we could just put calls on the air and just say to people, you're on the air.
Exactly.
We're calling Bernie Yellman.
I'll tell you, Mr. Spelling used to get treated with a great deal of respect.
Who is the manager of Siegfried and Roy?
Uh-huh. A friend of mine, Danny Ocean, was at your show the other night.
You know, last night, Fred and I were watching in bed.
Hi, Bernie. Hi, this is Rob Stein, assistant to Aaron Spelling. Hold on for Mr. Spelling.
You finally got him?
Yeah, he's on the phone, Aaron.
Bernie. How are you, sir? You got that right. It's been way too long. Got a quick question? The bus been here on short notice. I got some friends that went to see your guys on Saturday night. I know there was a misunderstanding with the table setting, and it was an entire situation. They're working for me on a brand new deal.
Project.
I was just wondering if one of them could pick up the phone now. He's a close dear friend of mine. His name is Mike. If you could just say hi to him, it would make a big. He came back. He was upset. I'm telling him, you guys are great. You're great. We go way back. Would you mind just saying hello to him? The misunderstanding is they paid for front row seats. They were put all the way in the back. They mentioned my name. They got treated... Well, I told them to go through your office. Actually, the fault lays with me. It would be, you know... I'm sitting here with my dear friend Mike, who had the bad time at the show, and I said, I know Bernie. I'd be glad to call him up. Mike, pick up. Just say hi to Bernie. Just say hi to Bernie. And
hi,
tell him,
Bernie.
What a schmuck you are. Mike, tell him what a schmuck you are.
Hello, Bernie.
Yeah, this is my friend Mike.
Hi, Bernie.
Mike is a putz, and Bernie...
Hey, I'm not a putz.
You're a putz. Now, you apologize to this man for what you did at the show at the Mirage on Saturday night.
I walked out, and I want to apologize, but I was very, very disappointed, and my friend Aaron... tried to hook me up, but I just didn't have the table that I'd look forward to, and I left after 28 minutes.
Apologize to him, please.
If you would have come to my office.
Aaron Spelling's been your friend for 30 years?
What did I tell you, Putz? 30 years we've been together.
All right, well, I guess we should have gone through your office, Bernie. Next time we'll know better.
All right, Schmuck, hang up now. I'm not speaking to you, of course.
Goodbye, Bernie.
Listen, Bernie, you've helped me out. He's a friend of a friend.
He's
a borderline.
Doesn't seem to remember the voice, though.
You're the greatest. Anything I can ever do for you, thank you. Bernie. All right, well, great. If the name happens to come up, the name was Mike. He was at the show on Saturday night. And you're wonderful. As a family. Great. All right, I appreciate it. You're the best. If you need me, I'm going to be in D.C. all week. Believe it or not, I'm doing a D.O., the Department of Defense deal out here. Phone number? Robbie, give him the number I'm at. Hold on, let me get my guy. I'm going to be doing something at the Department of Defense this
week. Love you,
Bernie.
Love
you, you're the greatest. Here's my guy, Rob. Thanks. The other guy was a putz. Robbie?
What? They call me a putz for, Aaron. What number should I give him?
Give him the hotline.
All right.
And, Mike, you will verify that you were speaking.
He said the one thing I heard him say was that I have been his friend for 30 years. Obviously not long enough to
recognize
the accent.
Lost that Texas accent.
Yes.
How great is that?
Hello. Yes, it was not the best table we've ever had.
Here's the thing. Because the guy's got the hotline number, right. I couldn't say to him, hey, listen, you schmuck, I'm a disc jockey.
No, I was at
your show. It sucked ass.
Right. We're having fun anyway. That's the whole point.
I'm glad you were able.
Sure, to verify. So I've been a friend of Aaron Spelling's for 30 years, and I'm on there going, it's not the best table I've ever had. Well, you should have gone through my office.
Bernie?
That's it.
I can't hear him. I can't hear him, Aaron. Bernie?
Bernie gone?
I think so. I tried to talk, and he was quiet. I kept getting, I beg your pardon.
Well, I don't doubt they'll probably be calling back.
Yeah.
They'll probably be calling back, you know. We've had the Aaron Spelling sleuthing going on for a long time. You know, Don, don't you agree that's better than getting any money back?
Sure is, Mike. Wow.
Fantastic.
Someone called for a doctor?
That name, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the name that opens any door.
It is the skeleton key of names in show business.
Now, keep in mind, when I called, you know, just as myself, I got, no, he's not around.
Right, exactly.
He's not around. You drop the name Aaron Spelling. Hold on. Find him for you.
Whenever we're doing that, I always think we're in the middle of an Albert Brooks movie, too. Hello? Yes? Of course we can talk to you. Yes, that's fine.
And it was funny because he said, when I said, I want you to talk to my friend Mike. Well, what do I have to talk to him about?
I didn't do it, but I was so tempted to get on the phone and go, oh, hello? I didn't like the show very much. But I wanted to keep it going. Yeah. I really wanted to. And then I just couldn't help it. Develop a New York accent halfway through. Well, we got up after a while. The table wasn't where we wanted it to be.
And then I'm saying to him,
why didn't you go through my... Well, and there's no need to apologize. If you went through my office, there wouldn't be any need. And then Don says, you putz. He says, I've known Aaron Spelling for 33 years. Oh, Lord. Too much fun.
Listen, how's your family? Ah, they're fantastic. Gina, whatever. She's great. How's yours? Oh, they're great. They're great. They're wonderful.
Tori just continues to lose weight.
Tori's having elective surgery.
Right.
Okay, so that's, I guess, closure.
You probably could have told Bernie that you were in Washington for your bee.
My what?
Your bee. That's where they have it, the national bee.
Oh, spelling. Okay, hold on.
Thank you. I'm here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
I get jokes.
Thanks a lot.
I get jokes.
Thank you, Aaron.
We got to
Aaron Spelling Bee.
Aaron Spelling. This is Aaron Spelling.
The name that opens doors. You know what? That is just that. If we do anything on this show that is simply a pure goof, that is the ultimate pure goof.
That's the best.
We do that for pure recreation.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
La 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 la
lie to your face.
You are one pretty lady.
Not.
The mole will double-cross you.
Drink this. It's not poisonous.
The mole could be right beside you. And you wouldn't even know it. Who is the mole?
Me.
The betrayal begins Tuesday, January 9th on ABC.
Where are my eyes?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Someone called for a doctor? Someone called for a doctor? Someone called for a doctor?
Pride, love, greed, gluttony, wrath, envy, vengeance. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
One thing I do want to mention before we get off this Las Vegas thing, Robbie and I would like to thank HBO. The one thing we haven't mentioned is what a great fight it was that we were at.
Roy Jones Jr. is now a legitimate heavyweight. We can look for him to be part of some very big fights. The great thing about a fight like that is when a guy comes into the rank and he wins a fight, he wins a big fight like
he's
that.
He's not really big enough.
No, he's not big enough, but he might get bigger. And
to beat a guy like Tyson.
But now it's like you got another guy that you can add to the heavyweight ranks that can be part of some big fights. If he fights Holyfield, that's going to be a huge fight. And that's all you want to see. You just want to see great matchups.
You know, it was a good fight, but I think it would have been better with more male dancers.
Yeah,
there's something. I don't know.
Thank you, HBO.
Hey, Rock, thanks a lot.
Let me mention on tomorrow's episode, I know you've all heard about Dave Letterman having shingles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tomorrow on the show via satellite, his mom.
Oh, Dot Letterman.
Dave's mom, Dorothy. I understand she's bathing him.
Right.
Also tomorrow, lady who's written that book about threesomes and why they're good for you. She'll be in the studio.
Right.
Also, attention, parrot heads. Win them before you can buy them. You know, these Jimmy Buffett tickets, they always sell out. Day of show.
You know, on my drive home, I drive right by the major outdoor concert venue, and there's only one, and now we have traffic all the time, but in years past, the worst traffic year, the worst traffic day of the year would be
Jimmy Buffett
because he just goes nuts.
Well, we've got, let me see, tickets for both Meriwether and Nissan, and I think we'll play The Big Lie or something like that.
Very good.
Still to come this week. Plus, the return tomorrow of Affiliate Roulette.
Very good.
Sometime very soon. Donnie's Naked Cruelty. And I knew it was 6 months ago, but the guy who won our American Idiot contest will be on the show.
It's a guy that won it?
Yeah, the guy who sang The Rose.
Ah, very good.
To perform outside in some kind of concert setting.
Weather permitting.
Now, we received this fax. Attention, Don and Mike. Hi, Charlie. Hi, Buzz. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Rob. Hi, Joe. Hi, guys. I've been trying to get through for my allotted call for the month of February.
Uh-oh.
It's now March. I have a major confession to make. Joe will not put my call through. He's been nice to put me on hold. But, Don, do you see my name and not put me on the air?
Do you?
Correct. I'm listening today.
Is it GK?
Yeah. Great Vegas stories. Love, Gladys Kravitz.
I just had a very horrifying thought about what her confession could be, because she sent me a birthday card that I got today here at the station. It didn't open yet.
Why the F did she send me a card, too?
I don't know, but...
And I hate her cards. They're always, oh, how are you? Hope you're doing well.
But on the address...
Sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Oh, no.
You feel you have reached this recording in error.
Hold on, maybe I did. Her confession is, she's broke.
On her return address label, she by hand scratched out her husband's name.
Oh, really?
So maybe her confession is...
She's divorced.
She's been dallying in life.
Or she killed him.
Oh, you think that's why she sent me a card?
That makes her available.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
You
could do worse.
Now, keep in mind, this woman is one of our most rabid fans.
God damn it, Gladys!
Well, now, I'm calling the number that she put on the... Is this her right here? You got her on line one, Joey? Is that it? Hold on, let me see. Is this her? Hello, Dynamite. Gladys, is this you, Gladys? Hello?
Gladys?
No.
You don't sound like a Gladys.
Who's this?
Hey, man, this is Salami from Portland, Maine.
Hi there.
What's going on, buddies?
Hi. Salami?
Yeah.
Yeah, Salami. What can we do for you?
Nothing. I just want to say hi and great show, and I just always want to talk to you guys.
Why do they call you Salami?
Well, hey, it's a hidden secret.
There you go. Oh, okay. No nickname.
Here's Gladys. Hey, Gladys.
Hi, guys.
Let me see. The number you wrote on the bottom.
Well, it's a fax number. It's a fax number.
Right. That's always smart to write a to hand write a fax number on there.
Well, listen, you guys always say when someone sends you a fax, they never put the fax number. I put the fax number.
But Gladys, you sent us a fax that says, call me. Because you have a major announcement to make. And you're right.
No, did I write call me? Yes. I didn't mean to write
you're
that.
Sure. And I've seen your name on the screen, and you're right. I've avoided it.
I'm, yeah.
All right, Gladys, as I was starting to say, she lives in Wichita. You won't find a bigger or more dedicated fan.
She has
the show.
Been for a long, long time.
You will also not find a woman with more vaginal dryness
mm-hmm.
than this woman. She is a nuisance.
She is a handful. We never have a call that goes well with her. There's always something that she does or says that annoys. She can't help it.
She's a boil on the collective ass of the Don and Mike show. So what we've had to do is put this lady, Gladys Kravitz, on restriction. We only allow her to call the show once a month.
I will admit, however, and Gladys?
Yes?
Could you stop breathing into the phone a little bit?
I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well.
All right. All right. Is that going to be what the confession has to do with?
Oh, no, not at all.
All right. Okay, so, because that
it's
didn't...
It's just allergy.
That didn't... Oh, lovely. That didn't treat me. And Gladys, why do you... Don't send me cards, please. Your cards always make me feel bad.
Well, they're not intended to.
They make me feel like you're feeling sorry for me.
No, I don't at all. No, I don't.
The card that Gladys...
That's meant for encouragement.
The card that Gladys... Something like today was just ridiculous. I mean,
wasn't it funny?
Let me see if I can get it out of my briefcase.
Mike, can you? You've not spilled too much other garbage on it, have you?
Well, I thought it looked kind of funny. There's a little dog on it.
Yeah, a little dog.
But you know, you were talking to some lady a couple weeks ago, and you were using my music.
Oh, the Wicked Witch?
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is.
All right. It's this old lady who says, we can lick anything if we try.
Uh-huh.
And the dog in the bag says, how true. Very cute little front of the car.
But the lady had pink hair.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Lick anything.
The lady
had pink
hair.
What do you think I'm trying to lick? You understand that? I hate that. It makes me feel... When people have that attitude, it makes me feel like I'm dying.
But read the card, Mike.
No, you're not. Right. And don't read. That's personal. But, come on. I only said
no,
personal
no,
cards.
Read the card.
And what it said was, hang in there.
Oh,
okay.
That part,
it says hang in there. Now, right away, I'm like, F that. You know, I mean, I am hanging there. It says, dear Mike, I just want you to know.
Hey, Mike, that's personal.
That I keep you in my thoughts and prayers every day. Take care of yourself and enjoy your time with your daughters. You have no idea how
quickly
they grow
up.
And little girls, I know how quickly they grow up, and I enjoy
my
time.
No, you don't.
I do. You know what? I do. What do you mean? I don't know.
No, okay.
They're 7 and 5. I've spent the whole week.
Well, what until they're 18 and they leave? And
I understand, but I cherish my time. I don't need to be reminded to get along with the two women that I love more than anything on God's earth.
This is why we have to put this woman on probation. And Gladys, it's not like Mike just announced on Friday that he's... separating and divorcing. This has been, a year and a half?
It's been a year. It's coming up on a year. And quite frankly...
Today you get the sympathy card from her.
And quite frankly, the relationship that I have with my ex-wife right now, we have stabilized into an area where things are going much easier than they were before, and it shows, and I think it's better for the girls, and everything is stabilizing and doing quite well.
Okay.
And it's just, when it's like, hang in there, that reminds me that I'm supposed to be depressed, and it pisses me off.
Now, Gladys, in your letter, in your facts, you said I have a major, and that's written...
Well, see, I always have to get the word to get...
It's written in capital letters and underlined.
Well,
what is the major confession you have to make?
Oh, I kind of pulled a joke on you guys after the Super... Oh, someone keeps calling. I kind of pulled a joke.
Now, ladies, do I have to explain that she is one of the worst callers we've ever had? Everything. The breathing into the phone.
What is the is the major confession?
I called to pretend I was Darcy... what's her name?
Well,
I can't even think today. Glazer. Darcy Glazer.
Who?
That was me.
What?
The guy that owns...
The Buccaneers?
Yes, that was me.
So you're saying that a month and a half ago.
Well, I can't get through.
Oh, you called saying that you were like the daughter and you didn't like the way we were talking about
it? Yes, that was me.
Okay. Well, then, Gladys, I think...
I feel badly that I did that.
No, you don't.
I think I speak for everybody, including those who are listening right now, when I say, talk to you in 2004.
Oh, why?
Because you just... You know what, Gladys?
Should I not have told you?
No. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Today's show...
It wasn't a question of whether you should. You couldn't stand not telling us.
Right. Today's show, I think, at least... You know me. I'm very analytical about the show. I try to look at it third person and take myself out of it. Pretty good show. We have some pretty good phone calls. We got good interaction to the audience. We got through to Siegfried and Roy's manager. Mike got in on the gag. I got an open break, the last break, and you send in a fax saying, I have a major confession to make.
And that is that you made a prank call. That's not a major confession. That's just a pain in the ass.
So I am afraid you are banned for the rest of 2003.
Okay.
And Gladys, I mean it.
I believe
you. And that means don't send Mike any more sympathy cards.
Mm-hmm.
I won't.
Don't send me any cards. Don't send Rob any cards.
Just think about things.
And may I ask a question before she goes? Because
sure.
I know we won't speak for months.
Yeah.
Gladys, first off, when you finished that prank call a month and a half ago, didn't Don and Mike figure out that it was a fake call?
Probably.
Yeah, so it really wasn't much of a prank. And also, did your husband leave you?
Did my husband leave me?
Yeah, there was a name scratched off on the return label on the envelope.
Oh, because I don't want you to know his first name.
I could read it through it.
Okay.
We could use some of our CSI techniques.
What is his first name, Rob? It
appeared to be Duke.
His first name is Duke Kravitz.
I know he didn't love that.
Don't worry, Dollface. Your secret's safe with me.
All right, Gladys.
Okay. Lucy in 04.
Listen, no kidding.
No kidding.
That's it until the end of the year.
I know it. It's sad.
Okay.
I'll wear black.
It's not sad for our listeners.
No, I know it isn't.
All right. Adieu, Gladys. Adieu.
Adieu.
Goodbye,
bye.
Darling.
Bye, Gladys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
I don't know. I just never can figure her out, and I just think there's something evil in there.
I think she's good-hearted.
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
Rob and I disagree.
I enjoy
Rob
it.
Rob and I have always thought that she is not good-hearted.
I think she's very good-hearted,
she's
but
evil.
I'll tell you what, she's just a... And she's not even a bitch. It's not that she's a bitch.
No, she's difficult.
She's just that old lady, doesn't know how to shut up.
You can't trust a woman that beautiful. Never trust a woman that
Rob,
beautiful.
And of course, shocker, Rob hates her more than all of us.
Right.
I'm about to start a dance for her, and her alone.
Wow. Hey,
Rob?
Yeah?
Someone called for a doctor?
Someone called for a doctor.
Okay. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
let's go to Buzz.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
You like her, don't you, Buzz?
I like the card she sends me. She sat next to me when I did the news when we were in Wichita.
There you go.
So I have fond memories
all
of
right.
Beth.
That's
whatever.
Great. That's great. Why'd you eat her?
Oh, my.
Well, we're not that close.
Wow.
You like her that much. Why don't you just put some bologna on her? Buzz, you know, I don't even know that, Buzz.
I like you're trying to cover it, though. Just go with your first thought on it.
Yeah.
I think that's what Buzz should do.
There we go. There's a girl thinks we're asses for being mean. She thought we were mean to Gladys.
Everybody, we get calls like this every
Betsy?
Time we have Gladys.
Betsy?
Yeah?
Betsy,
yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, this is me.
What, we're mean?
Well, no. I mean, I love your show. I love your sense of humor. But it's obvious that she, you know, I mean, I love it. And me making fun of people doesn't bother me.
Hey, Betsy, I know.
You guys are very tasteful.
Let me ask you something.
Obvious that she's
Betsy.
I want to stop you right there. We get calls like this every time we talk to Gladys, and I completely understand them, because when you haven't heard Gladys on a regular basis, and we've had Gladys on the show for I don't know how many years, but it's definitely over 10 years, and Gladys is someone who is difficult because we've had her on for so long. She doesn't come across as somebody who's a bitch, like Don says,
right.
So that makes us sound meaner.
But she's not.
But she is so difficult.
She's annoying.
She is
okay,
so annoying.
I just started listening about a year and a half ago,
that
and I love
surprise
you guys.
Right?
And okay. So I totally understand. It just seemed like the letter seems like, you know, she's lonely. She has no life.
Nope, she's got family.
You guys
family.
Are it.
No, you're right.
She idolizes you guys.
No, no, you're wrong. She has kids. One of them is borderline.
You can have kids and a family, and you'll be very lonely.
You know what? I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment. You know what? No, I can't with this headset. I'm going to say something to you now that I'm going to have to delete out.
Okay.
Oh, no. The rest of the audience won't be able to hear it.
Oh, okay. No, here it goes.
Betsy?
Yeah?
All right, did you get that, Betsy?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh. See you later. Now, let me go to somebody on hold.
My God.
I haven't heard that. Hey, Dante.
Yes. Hey, guys, how you doing? How was your trip?
Did you hear that thing on hold?
I certainly did.
Did you agree with me?
Absolutely, 100%.
Thanks. Buzz, what's your lead story today?
Today, Barbara Streisand says no matter what you've heard or read, she's a super patriot.
Right.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Yeah. Betsy. I said to her, I said, Gladys is not a C, but you are a C.
The mother of all words.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Catering to the BM eaters, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that is embarrassing.
Why?
What a commercial we just ran.
Where we're taking resumes?
Yes, we're hiring.
God.
Big hiring coming up here.
This is the number one billing station in Washington, D.C. Station makes more advertising money than any station in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Yet we're running a commercial saying, are you interested in a career in radio sales? If so, and they give the freaking phone number at the front desk. Yeah. Looking for salespeople.
And you're embarrassed, though.
Totally embarrassed.
Fly within.
I would have written the copy slightly differently.
How would you have written it?
Are you an attractive female between the ages of 22 and 35?
Mm-hmm.
Looking to meet exciting people and have great social interactions? Would you like to be a hard worker by day and a party animal by night? Then we'd like to see your resume.
You know what I'm not embarrassed to say?
What?
Buzz is sponsored by Veramax.
That's right.
Right. Sexual pleasure, performance enhancer. Oh, Rob, it's the hotline. See if it's for Aaron Spelly. Someone's calling on the hotline. Veramax is doctor-developed and clinically tested. Veramax works. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today, Viramax. 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, hi, Donna Mike. Barbara Streisand is using her website to tell Americans she's a patriot. The tabloids and certain talk shows would have you believe otherwise because of her anti-Bush, anti-war stances. So she's put out an essay called My Right to Dissent. In it, she says, quote, I am a patriotic American who loves this country. She says she is not, as she's been accused, a friend of Saddam. She says she thinks he is, quoting again, a horrific dictator who should disarm.
You know, really, and I say this as somebody who is anti-war. Mm-hmm. I think we ought to do everything but go to war. We should get the inspectors. Don doesn't agree with me, but you know what?
I'm for war.
The problem is these people, I like to call them the professional dissenters.
Right.
The professional, quote, liberals.
Shut the F up.
They give the other side, if you're trying to further our cause, which is, you know, and I believe in it. I think there are a lot of things we ought to do before we go to war. I really don't want to see guys die over this thing over in Iraq. I really don't.
Right.
But I think the people that are these professionals, your Martin Sheens, your Barbara Streisands, I think they have to take stock of whether they're really helping the cause.
Or hurting it.
And Bulletin, the last time I checked, the war's off.
Yeah, and also the last time I checked.
Really? I mean, isn't that kind of where we're at?
I think the majority of Americans also are saying they'd like to get backing from the UN before we do that.
And
that's my position as well. I don't want to go in and be the world's villains.
No.
That's what I don't want us to shift the blame, you know, from Saddam Hussein, a real evil guy, to make us the bad guys of the world.
I do.
You want us to
But listen, regardless, I agree. all these Hollywood types, even if they were pro-war, I'd be saying the same thing if they felt like I...
It's like you can use Charlton Heston as an example when he was head of the NRA.
Shut the frig up.
Just everybody just chill out.
Make a good movie. Make a good record.
Entertain us.
You know.
Well, I also don't think it helps the cause. I mean, that's the point. I think it helps their ego, but I don't know whether it helps the cause. I think, you know what you do, Barbara Streisand, if you're really serious about that, take your millions and millions and millions and millions and support the groups that need the support.
Listen, if there's any reason to hate Barbara Streisand beyond the obvious,
right?
Beyond the singing and the movies and the being politically involved in crap she shouldn't be involved in, let's not forget these tapes.
Put it this way: the other night, you know what spooning is, don't you?
I think so.
Spooning.
Yeah.
So he was like whispering, holding me.
Spoon, sleeping spoon.
Yeah, sleeping like spoon stock, cuddling in bed. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. And we're just about to fall asleep, I thought. And he says, I don't want to fall asleep. And so I say, why not? And he says, because then I'll miss you.
Right there. Right there is the reason she's not helping our cause.
Hurting the cause.
I bet James Brolin... Even though, you know, hey, listen, why did he marry her? Money. I bet when he has to go down there, oh, my God.
Man, and there's nobody I'd rather have on the side of, you know. I'd like to see him with the pro-war people.
Go, you know, double A.
I bet he's pro-war.
Beep, beep, MCO, God. So, you know, yeah. He's probably hoping she buys some gas masks just for the next time he has to give her oral.
He's pro-war, but you'd never hear it from him.
He's probably hoping a soldier comes in and shoots him.
Take him out of his misery.
And while NBC executives say publicly that they don't mind the anti-war stance of West Wing star Martin Sheen, he says privately they are nervous and uncomfortable about it. Last week, NBC executives were saying they didn't mind Sheen's appearance in anti-war TV commercials any more than they mind Law & Order star Fred Thompson's appearance in pro-war commercials.
Martin Sheen should be worried about one thing.
What's that?
Nobody watches the West Wing anymore.
West Wing's ratings, and I bet because of what he's doing. Now, every American has a right to do whatever they want to do. I mean, and it's free speech. I'm talking about these individuals, Barbara Streisand, Martin Sheen. Are they really helping the cause that they promote?
Sheryl Crow.
You know, I wonder if they are. I don't know whether it happens anymore. It's just a different world that we live in right now.
They're just perceived, and correctly so by us, the general
public, as sanctimonious.
As, you know, just shut the F up. Shut the F up. Go to your effing mansion, because even if we do go to war with any of these countries, I guarantee the last person that'll trickle down and bother is Barbara Streisand.
Absolutely.
More Madonna, who's also defending her patriotism as she prepares to release an anti-war video.
You know, it's very, very frustrating. It really is. It is very frustrating because I feel, you know, very strongly about certain things, but then you see these people that are the professionals that are at every one of these little she get-togethers, and just, you know, spend your money, get the candidates elected that you want, and just shut up. You're not doing anything but, like, furthering your own ego, and it really, really pisses me off because I think it's doing more harm for the cause that I support than it is doing good.
And basically, when I was watching Fox News Channel and CNN and stuff, I mean, I know I'm just summarizing here, but basically, the war's over, right? I mean, it's kind of like he's going to do what we want him to do.
I think, really,
he said that he's going to do what we want him to do.
You don't know, really, what's inside. I'll tell you right now, if it gets to the point where, really, because we have had this massive buildup, and all of a sudden they start toeing the line, you're going to look at probably one of the great successes of a presidency, where
that's
because
true.
He flexed his muscle and you had to go right to the brink with this guy that maybe were. That man, that would, nothing would make me happier than if that happened. It would be fantastic. The only reason I'm against, you know, the conflict, I don't want us to be in a situation where all of a sudden it's not just people from the Middle East that we have to worry about. It's people from European countries where they can get across our borders and stuff happens.
We got to worry about that all the time.
Well, I don't. I think right now we got a pretty, you know, right now it's pretty obvious, you know, who's wearing the black hats and who's wearing the white hats. That could shift and you know, it's just.
I got news for you. We have no friends. I mean, as a country in the world, really. And even the Britons, the Brits, I think push comes to shove, if it was something that they're on the fence on, they'd blow us off, too.
Well, you know, and I think maybe it's time that, because of the size of the planet, it's gotten smaller and smaller, might be time that you know, we have these great think tanks that start to figure out why that's happening.
Colonize the moon, man.
Leave the planet, right?
That's right, dude.
So the United States moves to the moon.
Someone call for a doctor?
That's right.
As long as they have golf.
And satellite TV.
Hey, I bet you'd have a much better chance of getting satellite TV than I would have golf there.
On the moon?
Of course, they played golf on the moon, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Of course they did.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know to keep going on these people that aren't supporting the president.
Wait a minute. No. We're going off on the people. Funny. We're not going off because they're not supporting the president.
And
Just the celebrities. I'm just talking.
Shut up.
Wrong show. Buzz, hold on.
All right, then.
My apologies to allow the general public into this discussion.
Which I thought we handled very well.
Yeah, we have it on the news and the comments every day. My apologies.
Mike Ross.
Yeah. Rob, give me 30 seconds, though. Okay. Clock me. 30 seconds to get an informed opinion. Okay? Go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
What's your take on celebrities in the war, Tom?
Celebrities in the war?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let them go get them and kill them.
Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Like to add to what? Let's kick his ass. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Kick his ass and get him out of there and kill him.
Anything else? How about Barbara Streisand?
Barbara Streisand, I can, what do you call it?
What?
What do you call it?
That was 30 seconds of time.
Hi, Tom. What's wrong?
We'll never know.
All right, Tom. Bye.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Next Saturday night, DC Armory, Jimmy Lang's going to be boxing.
Okay.
You guys can come down and...
Thanks. Thanks, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
If anybody's out there listening, TomGavin.com.
Okay, bye, Tom.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
That was our informed opinion.
Hey, where's Charlie?
He's not here.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
We got a break. Tom, take us a break right now. We got to go right now.
Dynamite, go to break and have these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, O'Reilly, Ron and Fez, Redskins, 107 WJFK.
Loading up on the outer loop, headed down from the edge of the Georgetown Pike past I-66, low edge to go west, out toward Vienna and Fairfax. Traffic's brought to you by Trim Spa, models, athletes, celebrities. People everywhere are shedding fat safely with natural patented Trim Spa. Call 1-800-TRIM-SPA or go to trimspa.com, also available at Vitamin World and GNC. Here abruptly, Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Hi, Tom. What's wrong?
Hello?
WJFK. Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ladies, they love your in-betweens. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Someone called for a doctor?
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. We were talking about those other celebrities, the anti-war celebrities. Well, then, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was once a soldier in the Austrian army. In a visit to a museum in this country on Friday, he came across the tank he used to drive back in 1965.
Look, that's my tank.
He says that tank caused him some trouble. He says he kept the engine running one night to keep warm and fell asleep. He says that when he awoke at 5 a.m., he realized the tank had rolled into a river.
And I says,
I mean the river. And the tank, I says, how's the engine going? And there got the big tiles going down. I'm stupid.
His superiors punished him by putting him in jail for 3 days.
There you go.
This is great and long overdue. Two big chains of movie theaters are being sued for making us watch commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
The lawsuit says it defrauds the public because it turns the start time of the movie into a lie.
Okay.
Classic Cinemas and Lowe's are being sued by two groups, both of which say they have no objection to movie trailers, but their lawsuits ask that theaters be forced to change the start time of the movie to whenever the commercials are over, or... they want each moviegoer to be paid up to $75 for every set of ads we have to sit through.
Hey, bravo! Now that's great.
Isn't it?
It ain't going to happen, but no. I'm all for it.
The lawsuits point out that theaters operated well for 100 years without commercials. In fact, they've just come off their best year since 1957. One chain defends itself by saying it only shows about 3 minutes worth of ads.
And even while this lawsuit's underway, some theaters are actually adding commercials. Regal Cinemas are replacing their old-fashioned slideshows with commercials. 20 minutes of commercials, including a 3-minute spot for Jay Leno's Tonight Show.
God!
Insert.
Click.
Exactly. If only you could.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have a segment about lawsuits. Crazy, nutty lawsuits that people have won.
Crazy, wacky lawsuits.
Yeah. Kind of along the lines of the woman that bought the coffee at McDonald's and won the money.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole list of dumb lawsuits.
Finally, when reality shows
tomorrow, I'm sure we'll get a big tune-in for that. Now that I've set that great bit up.
Wacky lawsuits tomorrow.
I'm watching
audience records tomorrow.
Setting records with the show. I'm the lawsuit. And then I'm going to drive my tank into the river.
Finally, when reality shows collide, Ozzy Osbourne, being followed by his camera crew, happened the other day upon Roseanne, who was being followed by her camera crew. It happened at Barney's in Beverly Hills last week. Both crews had their cameras rolling at the time. You'll see what Ozzy's cameras saw on his show. You'll see what Roseanne's cameras saw on hers. She'll
and
have
that, that was a
show
bit on Mad TV where they did that. They did a bit on that where all the reality shows
were. It had to happen eventually. Mm-hmm. Quoting an ABC spokeswoman, the only thing that would have made it better is if Anna Nicole Smith had shown up.
That's right.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're back.
All right. We got to go.
Yeah.
Someone call for a doctor?
Okay, we got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Rob.
Someone call for a doctor?
Somebody call for a doctor?
See you tomorrow, Linus.
Bye then. See you,
Jimmy. BM Eaters.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.